Acme is making your grocery shopping easier than ever. Download the Acme mobile app to find digital deals, earn reward points, or shop for delivery or pickup. Acme, fresh foods, local flavors.
93.3 WMMR, audio on demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast. And now, Preston and Steve's news update with Kathy Romano.
All right, today is Friday, November 22nd. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning. In the news this morning, a 51-year-old man died after suffering multiple stab wounds on Philadelphia's Rittenhouse Square, and police continue to search for the suspect. Police said a 911 call came in at about 10 p.m. Thursday saying there was a person screaming. Authorities were told a group of people were fighting at the entrance of the park at the corner of 18th and Walnut. Arriving officers found the male victim bleeding with several stab wounds. Police said that he was being uncooperative and appeared to be intoxicated. They said the victim initially refused to even go to the hospital, actually physically fighting some of the first responders, but eventually they convinced him and he was taken to Jefferson University Hospital. The man had been stabbed multiple times in his neck, shoulder, chest, and back, police said, and then he was pronounced dead at the hospital a short time before midnight Friday, yeah. Right? Terrible.
They might have been able to save him. You know,
right, right.
Resisting.
They were talking to people in the area like, what?
Yes.
Here?
Philadelphia Chief Inspector Scott Small said police stopped someone fitting the description. However, the victim of the stabbing refused to identify him, so they had to let him go. The victim had a West Philadelphia address, but police said that he is known to hang out at the entrance of Rittenhouse Park. Police are working to locate surveillance video that could help them with their investigation. The suspect who opened fire on an officer in Tuckerton, New Jersey on Thursday has been taken into custody. According to the Ocean County Prosecutor's Office, at about 10 a.m., a Tuckerton Borough police officer exchanged gunfire with 29-year-old Miguel and Hel Villegas of New Haven, Connecticut, after a traffic stop near the intersection of Route 9 and North Green Street. The officer was not injured, fortunately. After the shooting, police say Villegas fled the area on a tricycle, which was later recovered about a half a mile from the shooting scene. I'm not sure what kind of tricycle.
Yeah,
it was
tricycle.
Okay. I'm not sure.
Preston, it was probably a big wheel if you're talking about a pursuit.
And fled the area.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah.
You're fleeing too much on a tricycle.
I just shot a cop. Let me get on something inconspicuous.
That's
and
like
a tricycle out of here.
Yeah, I'm not sure if it was.
Okay.
I'm not sure what it was. So he was taken into custody shortly after 8 o'clock at Penn Station in New York City. Villegas has been charged with attempted murder, kidnapping, unlawful possession of a weapon, and possession of a handgun for an unlawful purpose. Prosecutors said that he's also wanted in Connecticut. A 29-year-old man is facing hundreds of charges after police said he was spying on and recording female students around the Rowan University campus. Police said that Mitchell Murkowski, a Rowan student, recorded the girls sometime while they were undressing in their dorms and apartments. On November 6th, students spotted Murkowski on the fourth floor of a parking garage on Rowan Boulevard, looking into the apartments across the street. Arriving officers said they found him with a pair of binoculars. Investigators say he confessed to watching four girls across the street.
I'm trying to figure out the perversion here because there's just so much available online if you're into this sort of stuff. Is it the equivalent of making your own chocolate chip cookies because they taste better?
I don't know. And you know what, Steve? They said that the video that he was getting was you couldn't identify any of the women on the video. So it wasn't like it was HD
I just don't get it, right? Yeah. Whatever you're into, clearly.
Just go online and get it.
Go on the deep web for crying out loud. Whatever you want.
Police said he was initially charged with invasion of privacy, but after detectives confiscated his cell phone, laptop, and flash drive, he now faces upwards of 250 additional charges. A Rowan spokesperson said that none of the females recorded could be identified on the videos. The university held a meeting Thursday night to explain to the students what had happened and offered counseling should anyone need it. Murkowski is being held without bail at the Salem County Jail.
That'd be incredibly freaky.
In sports this morning. The Flyers rebounded from an early 2-0 deficit with 4 points from Claude Giroux and the second career goal for Morgan Frost on their way to a 5-3 win over the Hurricanes.
They did it!
Carolina led by 2 less than 5 minutes into the game, but Giroux scored on Ivan Provorov, tied it up on the power play with 6:46 left. in the opening period. Frost's goal was shorthanded and was the only scoring of the second. After the Hurricanes retied it early in the third, Frost had a nice setup on Giroux's second goal of the night. Brian Elliott stopped 33 shots, including all 19 he faced in the second period, to earn the win. The Flyers are back home tomorrow afternoon with a game against the Calgary Flames. The puck drops at 1 o'clock. The Sixers are at home tonight with a game against the San Antonio Spurs. The Sixers have won two games in a row and are in fifth place in the Eastern Conference, while the Spurs are struggling so far this season with a record of 5-10. Tip-off for the nationally televised game is set for 8 o'clock. And in Thursday night football, the Houston Texans had big nights from Deshaun Watson and DeAndre Hopkins and beat the Indianapolis Colts to move into first place in the AFC South. Watson threw two touchdown passes to Hopkins and finished with 298 yards to lead the Texans to a 2017 win. And that's what I have for you this morning.
Thank you very much, Kathy. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to a Friday.
Oh, yeah.
Morning.
It's, oh, my God. Rebecca Black.
Yeah, that's out of the
legend.
And you knew who it was.
Viral blue.
I might sing that at least to myself every single Friday.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. My wife and I, like, even because I give her a kiss every morning.
Yeah.
Sometimes,
I wish you were Rebecca Black.
I wish you were. No. Sometimes even in her, like, you know, like, half sleepiness, will sing that to me.
Oh, that's adorable. Isn't that sweet?
Friday is my favorite day of the week.
It is a Friday. Hey, I have an off-the-wall request.
Huh.
Would you guys mind if I did part of the show without my pants on?
Yeah, okay. Go ahead. Yeah.
No, why? I would mind.
Are you sure? I mean, I wear my underwear.
Yeah, yeah.
Let me tell you why. Because I have, it's driving me crazy.
What's wrong?
I have a mystery itch on my thigh.
Oh, okay. I hate that. Yeah.
And what it feels like is one of those little plastic tags.
I know it. Yes.
On the inside of my pants. It's not there. I've been wearing the same pair of panties or jeans for a week.
No.
And it's not my underwear. My underwear is higher than this, and it's driving me crazy.
I've had that with shirts. Where is it?
If you don't mind.
No, I already said I do mind.
Listen, you're on that side of the board for a few minutes. Let me ask then. Let me take my pants off because I want to see if it still itches when I'm not wearing pants.
Do it. You have to.
I'll just pull them down a little.
Yeah.
Yeah, pull your underwear down. Yeah.
Pull your underwear.
Oh, no,
pull your wanger off.
I don't want to see your penis.
You're not going to see my penis.
Oh, my God.
Kathy, it's pretty awesome. I've seen it.
It's underwear.
Now, I'm just wondering if there's anybody else out there who is working with somebody who's not wearing pants.
Oh, I'm sure, especially in the porn industry.
Like Casey, it's like right in here.
I have that.
What's happening?
I feel like it's probably not an ingrown hair, but there's just, yeah.
It's not in you. It's in the pants.
I've had that. I pulled my pants down there at my ankles.
Do you want a blankie?
See, you can't even see.
Do you want a blankie?
Even Marissa can't see from where she is. A blankie.
Oh, she's more annoyed than
Kathy, give him the blankie and let him drape it over his nuts.
Ew.
Do you happen to have a Harry's razor on you? Because you could, like, shave that area. I think it's a hair thing.
No, I'm not going to shave here in front of you guys.
We're not asking you to shave your balls, just your thigh.
I do know what you mean, though. Like, you've had an item that you've worn before. You know there's no tag on it, and it's like a mysterious itch, and it's in the exact same spot, and it won't go away.
It's been bothering me since I got up on the drive in this morning, and it won't stop. So thank you. I'm gonna see if it does it without the clothing touching my skin. So otherwise, it's going to distract me.
Are you feeling it?
Can't do a good radio show. But it's not all the time. So it'll scratch, whatever, and then it stops. And then, like, 5 minutes later, there it is again. So I'm gonna sit here. I'll maybe get through entertainment news without my pants on.
Do you want me to rub some lotion on it by any chance?
No, I don't want you rubbing lotion on. It's okay.
Do you want me to gently kiss your buttocks?
Okay.
Put my head in your lap for a little while?
Kathy, you haven't offered any.
Kathy, would you mind
blowing
gently on his testicles?
Do you want Kathy to call HR?
Marissa's raising her hand. Maybe she wants to help out.
I'm just going to have a camera fixed on you because I can't wait for the moment you have to pee and you get up and you forget your pants are down.
That's not going to happen. All right, so just know that my pants are around my ankles as we are doing this radio show. So we have a lot going on today, and one of the things I want to do, you mentioned the Flyers one, that's wonderful. I want to go ahead and give away a pair of tickets to Preston and Steve Knight in the suite at the Flyers. We have a suite on Monday night.
So exciting.
They're playing Vancouver, and I will take caller 18. That's that simple, and give you a pair of tickets at 215-263-WMMR. Hopefully you've never been in a suite before. It's pretty awesome. And don't forget that it is Hockey Fights Cancer Night. All fans get a Hockey Fights Cancer Rally Towel. And canned goods are welcome. The flyers are collecting for the Camp Out for Hunger on your way into the game. You can get your tickets now at PhiladelphiaFlyers.com. So call
sweet,
caller number 18. We are going to we're going to give you tickets to that. So 215-263-WMMR. We have a lot going on today's program. Giving away our Word of the Week prize. Tool tickets for the show tonight in Atlantic City. So don't miss that at the end of the show. Guest-wise, Marlon Wayans is going to be stopping.
Yeah.
He comes by every time he's in town.
He was just here recently for Sextuplets.
He is going to be playing at Punchline tonight and Saturday night and also Sunday. There's a show. And we will have another comedian, Jim Norton, stopping in today.
Norton's great.
Yep. And he's going to be at Helium Comedy Club, and that's tonight and Saturday, and a show on Sunday as well. So we will have visits from two great comedians this morning. Also, God Shawls is stopping in. Turkey bacon, we got that to give away. And lots and lots and lots of prizes that we need to unload at various points throughout the program.
Yeah, so good.
You want to make sure you hang with us. We have a chance for it. I'll give away more of those Flyers tickets this morning, so listen up for your opportunity to grab them. Let's take a break. Come back in a second. We'll do the stupid question, the entertainment report. It's all right around the corner on this Friday morning. Stay with us.
Stream WMMR anywhere you have an internet connection. Check out the mobile app or go to WMMR.com. You'll figure it out from there.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Okay, so stupid question this morning. We are going to give away a pair of tickets to see Patrick Warburton, who is going to be performing Friday, January 10th at Punchline Philly. Question I have for you this morning. We're talking about that big baby Jesus statue yesterday.
Yeah, it looked like Phil Collins.
It was 22 feet tall. It's huge. Well, the largest Jesus is in Rio de Janeiro. But what I'd like to know is not about that. I would like to know, what does the city's name, Rio de Janeiro, mean in English?
There you go.
215-263-WMMR. I don't know if I've asked this question before.
I don't think you have.
I'm asking it now. What does the city's name, Rio de Janeiro, mean in English? 215-263-WMMR. Call right now. Friday, November 22nd. Birthdays that I'm going to mention to you include Scarlett Johansson.
Yep.
She is, what is this?
This is her singing in that movie Sing.
Oh, that's her? Right. I forgot she was one of the voices. Oh,
she was the porcupine.
Not bad.
She is celebrating her 35th birthday today. While she was in Sing, you probably know her better from the Marvel movies.
Oh.
As Black Widow. And she's been in actually loads of stuff throughout the years. Lost in Translation, obviously, Ghost World.
Really good stuff. Crazy Eight-Legged Freaks. A movie called Lucy.
Lucy, yep.
If you guys get a chance over the holidays or whenever, go see Jojo Rabbit. She plays the mom. She's phenomenal. It's a great movie. It's Michael Giacchino does the music. Taiki Waititi wrote it and directed it. It's awesome.
And if you ever want to see her really vamped up and sexified in He's Just Not That Into You.
Yeah.
She plays the mistress in that.
Right, yeah.
And that's Bradley Cooper, who is messing around with Scarlett Johansson on his wife, who is,
another stunner.
Well, she's, from A Beautiful Mind and,
Jennifer Connelly.
Possibly the most gorgeous woman in the world.
Right.
You love her.
I do.
And, so do I.
And he's messing around on her.
Yeah. It's a science fiction.
Just must suck.
Yeah.
To be Bradley Cooper. So Scarlett Johansson is 35 today. Little Steven Van Zandt. Bruce Springsteen in the E Street Band. Also, the actor from Sopranos as well.
A ton of people are not that familiar with his musical work and just know him as the actor.
Silvio Dante
who played. Yeah, he's great.
And a great personality, too. He's a lot of fun.
Wasn't he originally Miami Van Zandt?
Miami Steve Van Zandt. That's how Bruce used to refer to him.
And then it just switched at some point?
I guess so.
Huh.
Yeah.
I guess he moved.
Moved a little. Makes sense.
He's 69 today. He's from Little Rock. He lives in Little Rock.
Little Rock Steve Van Zandt. Uh-huh.
Mark Ruffalo, speaking of the Avengers, I didn't know that he and Scarlett Johansson shared a birthday today. They were lovers in one of those movies.
They were, yeah.
They never fully got to the loving part, though, right?
Nah, they were kind of lovers from afar.
So if you were Scarlett Johansson, would you wait until he hulked out for the sex?
It might kill you.
Yeah, I know.
You know, I don't know. But she is pretty tough, man. She's a badass spy, so who knows?
Mark Ruffalo is in I was watching that movie, Studio 54, Preston.
He's in that. That's a terrible movie.
It's a terrible movie that I love. It's horrible.
Wow.
But he has got to be, I don't know, 19 in the movie?
No kidding.
Yeah.
He is celebrating his 52nd birthday today. Jamie Lee Curtis has her birthday as well. She's currently in Knives Out.
Knives Out, yeah, yep. Part of that ensemble. And the reboot of the Halloween movies did really well, so they're probably doing more of those.
Yep, she's 61 today. Terry Gilliam, part of the Monty Python Flying Circus. I think he's the only American in the group.
He is.
Right?
Yeah, he did all the animations and then directed all the films. And I love a lot of his stuff. Brazil and 12 Monkeys and
Time Bandits.
He's a visionary. They say absolutely. Yeah,
he's 79 today. Marielle Hemingway, who is an actress. She was in a few movies, Star 80, Deconstructing Harry. She was on Roseanne as well, I guess, for a little bit.
Star 80 is a really disturbing film. Super well done. Eric Roberts. It's a story of Dorothy Stratton. If you've never seen it, it's really, really well done.
And granddaughter of Ernest Hemingway?
Yeah.
She's 58 today.
Her sister is Margot Hemingway, who was a model.
Does she talk like that?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, now, I'm assuming that her name is Hawaiian, so I'll do my best to pronounce this correctly. A'uli'i Cravalho, she played Moana, and she is going to be the next Ariel. She was Ariel,
that
I'm happened. Sorry.
That live action. Yeah.
Oh, the live action.
They combined them both. The animated movie, it was sort of jarring.
It was a little weird. Yeah. But she did a good job. She has a great voice.
Great voice.
She is 19 years old today. Billie Jean King.
Oh, love her.
A friend of the show.
Yeah.
She loves coming by here.
Yeah.
And a true superstar, man.
I'm so thrilled she credited all her Wimbledon wins to us. I thought that was a very generous thing.
Very after the fact.
Yeah, very after the fact. Yeah. I think in anticipation of one day meeting us.
Yep. Even though some of us were children and others weren't even born.
Absolutely.
Time, still.
It takes a lot to admit that. Yeah, something so obviously absurd.
But listen, every time we've had her by here, she's a lot of fun.
She's great.
Loves coming by here. Actually requests to come by here to come and see us. So a very happy birthday to the one and only Billie Jean King, 76 years old today. And then last birthday, a guy that we kind of buddied up to and hopefully have struck up a friendship with is Mads Mikkelsen.
Yes.
And he is 54 years old today.
We need to be buddies with him.
He's such a great character, man. In chatting with him last, we're like, he has solidified himself in every important genre available.
Yeah.
Bond, Marvel. What else? There's something
Star Wars.
Else. Star Wars.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
All he's got to do is...
become best friends.
Yep. All he's got to do is... what's the one that I was thinking of that he's kind of missing out on?
But Harry Potter?
Maybe Harry Potter, which he'd be perfect for. Yeah. He could be a villain in Harry Potter, no problem.
John Stamos.
Actually, maybe an Adam McKay movie. Yeah, maybe that would
I'd love to see him do a straight-up comedy.
Yeah, it'd be great.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he's 54 years old.
What was the name of the movie? It's great.
Arctic?
So good.
Yeah.
It's just him and another person, and it's virtually without dialogue, but it's a great movie.
So he celebrates his birthday today. Let's see if we can get an answer to the stupid question this morning. What does the city's name, Rio de Janeiro, mean in English? 215-263-WMMR is the number, and I'm going to go to Mike. Hey, Mike, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great. How about yourselves?
Wonderful. So what does the Rio de Janeiro mean in English?
I nailed this one. It's Portuguese for Pete Rose.
Yeah! Oh, my God.
Yeah! No.
Sorry. No. You got me excited.
Damn it.
It's really close, Mike.
Oh, man.
So, but thanks anyway.
It's that of word.
Sorry, man. I tell you what.
Give him something.
Close enough, we'll give you a case of Yards Brawler, okay?
Woohoo!
All right, very good. Man. Yards Brawler, you can find anywhere fine beers are sold, including the Philadelphia Beer Company. All right, let me try somebody else. I'll go to Alan.
Alan!
Hey, Alan.
Good morning.
Morning. All right, Alan, what does
Alan.
The...
Alan!
You're going to have to hold on. What does the city's name, Rio de Janeiro, mean in English?
River of January.
That is correct. Yes. All right, Alan, hang on the line.
Alan!
We're gonna get Alan! We'll get your information.
Alan!
We're gonna
Alan!
No, that's not Alan.
Steve, that's
Steve!
Alan is gonna get a pair of tickets to
That's a meerkat talking about.
I love that bit. We're going to give you a pair of tickets to see Patrick Warburton on Friday, January 10th, 9:45, Punchline Philly. You can get tickets for Patrick's January 10th and 11th shows at Ticketmaster.com. The shows are 21 and over. Let's start with Pete Davidson. Pete Davidson is posing as a Ken Barbie doll. He transformed into a nude Ken for Paper Magazine's Break the Internet issue.
It looks pretty good.
I haven't seen it.
So they have him obviously without genitals, and he has hinges on his body, and they've sort of obviously they photoshopped it up. My question is, he's shown with a torso that's incredibly tatted up. Is that indicative of what he really has?
Probably.
Because it's a sort of a fake, it's obviously everything sort of waxy looking, and he's got the hinges on his
pelvis.
Those
are crappy tattoos if that is indeed real.
Yeah, it's Mars Attacks, Jaws.
Yeah, those, and they look messy. They don't look clean and with a whole lot of thought behind them. Okay, interesting. I'm not really sure, Steve. But Davidson's good friend and 13 Reasons Why star Tommy Dorfman helped conceptualize the project, which is a play on artist Lisa Frank's iconic shot and a reference to Davidson's mental health struggles and colorful love life.
I picked up on all that.
Yeah, right. Yeah, yeah. Of the project, Dorfman recalled saying, in a car on our way to set for Pete's new movie with Judd Apatow, we brainstormed ideas for the upcoming shoot together.
Hold it 1 second, Preston. We have confirmation; those are in fact his tattoos.
Oh yeah, that's not.
That is not a good.
No, it looks like a sketchbook or something.
It really looks like you gave a child a pen and a pad.
Yeah, and they wrote on their notebook like he used to way back in the day. All right, so anyhow, he said, we were on the way for the upcoming shoot. I threw out a Ken doll concept. It seemed right since tabloids manipulate people that way, him especially. He was down with the idea, but challenged me to go darker, something that leaned into his struggle with depression, which he has been admirably public about. He told me that he'd slept in a car as a car bed as a kid, and I saw it immediately. The Staten Island Ken doll version of Pete stuck in a Barbie nightmare, pills everywhere. You'd be like depressed Ken, I said. And he goes, yeah, a D-list Ken, like Ken D, with a Ken D.
Ken D.
And the whole car exploded with laughter.
Oh my God, how could it not? It's so funny.
So that's what that whole thing is about. In case you were not aware.
It is weird when they take that, when they take human bodies and they've done it. They did it with the movie with the Steve
Marwin.
Carell. Yeah, Marwin. Yeah. You know, it's a little jarring.
Yeah. I enjoyed that movie.
I need to go back and watch it. I think you and I were watching it at the same time, and I was like, oh, this isn't as bad as...
It's the story of Marwin Perkins, right? From
right, who will be on the show later this morning, according to Pierre.
No, I wanted to say that I like Pete Davidson. There's so much about him that's, like, probably not likable, like all the PDA and, jealous of all the hot women that he's been with.
The whole
Vinnie
Brand thing was kind of a dick move. But in general, I do like him. I agree.
Yeah.
He's a young feller.
I think he's got a punchable face, to use your comment the other day.
He's got those, like, sunken weird eyes and the giant lips.
Well, he's getting the women, though, isn't he?
Oh, yes, he is. Yeah. And, in fact, he gave insight into his success with women. He says, my love language when I'm in a relationship is I treat that person I'm with like a princess.
I love you.
I try to go as above and beyond as possible because that's what you're supposed to do. If you're in a relationship with someone, you're just supposed to make that person feel as special as possible. But sometimes above and beyond is too much, he noted. But sometimes when you put so much on someone, it overwhelms them. And then they don't know if they could come close to that or if they can keep up with it, he said. So it's very off-putting to some.
I can see that. That's probably what happened with Ariana Grande.
It's something I had to learn in a past relationship, which sucked to learn through that person. But it makes you better. That's probably who he's talking about.
Yep.
So he gets a little too clingy, maybe, or something?
I think so. I think he throws his all into it, and it's off-putting to some women.
Yeah, possibly. Kim Kardashian wants her Skims solution wear line to be fully inclusive.
Oh, of course.
The 39-year-old mom of four tells E, I have been asked a lot about the men's question, and I would love to do that, and I hope that we're working on that soon. There's some fun stuff in the works, she says.
Oh, I'm so excited.
What is her Skims solution wear? Is it
used to be Kimoji wear.
Oh, that's the, like the...
Kim.
Yeah, I know, but what does it do
Spanx,
for you?
Right?
I didn't want to use the word Spanx because that's, you know, a different brand, but that's what it is. It'll like suck you in and all then right. You can put a dress or, you know, whatever over
it's a girdle.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a modern girdle.
Yeah.
So her current line of Skims for women is inclusive for women of all sizes and skin tones. She said it was really important for me because I'm not even that dark, but if I was tan, I could never find a color in my shade.
So you can also wear, like, if you had, say, like a white dress or white pants on, you know, you get the color of your skin. You get like a nude color and then you could wear it.
She says, and so I would always find myself dyeing my shapewear in tea bags and coffee bags.
Oh, come on. No, she wasn't.
To get a darker skin tone that would blend in more with my skin. So I can only imagine what an issue other people would have not finding those colors if I couldn't find mine. So I really wanted to come up with a solution for that, she said.
Preach, girl.
Right.
Uh-huh.
Right.
Do they have them for women with 18-inch calves?
Yeah, I don't
well,
know.
So it's funny you should say that, Caitlin. They make man Spanx. Did you really? Guys know that? Yeah.
Oh.
I found this out yesterday.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
Is it Spanx? Like that's the company?
I don't know. I don't know if it's the brand or not, but they do make, you know.
So what's the does it corral your junk
well,
in?
That's,
or
what? She's that's what she's considering in this. She said she wants to do the men.
They already make version. It. They already make it, men.
Okay, but she wants to do her line. For men.
I'm just pleading to the Philadelphia and surrounding areas to not purchase anything that belongs to a Kardashian family.
Oh, I'm on board with you.
Okay,
absolutely.
Wait. So here's the word I was looking for. Shapewear is what it is.
Shapewear.
Yeah. Okay. So yeah, you can pretend like you have a better body than you actually do.
If you had shapewear on, your jeans wouldn't be itching your leg.
Yeah. Okay. Because it'd be a layer between your jeans and your skin.
So it's almost like
underwear.
Thermal underwear.
Yeah,
or something like that. Yeah.
But it's to help.
Compression.
Do you remember, shape your body.
Years ago, Preston, they used to sell them. It was one of the first times I ever saw it was a t-shirt that had like a triangle over your abdominal muscles, and it was supposed to. They used to sell it on TV all the time. It was basically a man girdle.
Yeah,
that's
sure.
what it was.
Yep.
I do have these shapewear, and I like them, but if you wear them out for a night, like by the end of the night, I'm like, I can't breathe anymore. Like, I don't know if there's circulation in my legs.
Yeah. I could maybe do that if I was like going to something for like 3 hours max, you know? Let me throw this on. Yeah.
At least not for me.
Like a party at Kendall's house.
Yes. Let me rip this off in the parking lot as I'm leaving. But they brought pictures up in the studio. And what I didn't like about the pictures that they were showing was that the guys in the picture were all
in shape.
Yeah.
All in extraordinary shape.
It's the dumbest thing.
You need Louis Anderson with a pair of them.
Or just puffy people. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Case, but that's the trick they play. Yeah. Because to some people, not everybody, some people will see that and in a slight way feel that they might get that look.
Yeah,
you know
right.
what I mean?
I don't know which shapewear company it is. It's not Spanx, but there's an ad for it, and you see the woman, and she is overweight. She's got, you know, the extra, you know, around her belly, and she pulls the shapewear up over it, and it not completely flattens her out, but there's a significant difference, and she puts her clothes on, and you can see it. You're like, wow.
I've never
met. Well, but that's what, Steve, that's what I'm thinking.
I'm ready to go out for a night on the town.
If I had something that tight, I wouldn't be able to move.
Oh, my God.
I feel so good.
Are Spanx expensive, by the way?
You know what? They're less expensive than they used to be when they first came out. But, I mean, yeah, they're a decent chunk.
Well, the fabrics that they have, too, the things that they're... And they're also just regular. The whole concept of compression clothing and compression socks and all that stuff for circulation, it's a whole industry.
All the girls go out for a night. There's the one girl wearing the... Woo! Stephanie, how you doing over there?
I'm doing great!
You're having fun, girl?
I'm having a great time!
That's me. I'm the one in the
Do you need help going to the bathroom?
No, I'm good.
No. The best part of these is that you don't have to pull them down to go to the bathroom.
What?
You don't pull them down to go to the bathroom.
You just pee in them?
No, there's a hole, and you just open it.
Like this. Holy hell! All right, let me put it back on now.
You get like a minute of relief in the bathroom. No, but you don't have to pull them down. Because once you get them up,
what are you crapping them?
You just peeing them and it just holds it there.
No, I just said there's a hole.
I know.
What you do is you crap at them and then you push the crapper out to your chest area.
Ew. And it fills up your bra.
Your boobs are huge. I know, I took a huge dump.
Wow.
Okay. Listen, it's pretty accurate.
Yeah. What if you are incredibly gassy with those things on?
You're in trouble.
At the end of the night, when it's you take them off, it's just a huge fart comes out at the end of the night.
Yeah. All right. Well, anyhow, Kim is looking to make those for men, so we'll see if that ends up happening. The producers of the show Survivor are taking Kelly Kim's recent allegations over fellow contestant Dan Spillo's unwanted touching, or it might be Spilo. I'm not sure how you pronounce his last name. Changes will be made in future seasons, host Jeff Probst told EW. He said, it's an unprecedented and unfortunate situation that's still very raw for a lot of the players and fans. We are trying to learn from it. I saw just a blurb about this. I really don't know a whole
well,
hell of a lot about
what,
it.
Well, here's what I originally saw, the allegation or accusation, and then I saw the women retract what they said.
So here, yeah. Complicating the matters, you have Missy Bird and Elizabeth Bazell. These are contestants. They made up allegations against him in a bid to get Janet Carbon to vote him off. They have apologized. Now, the woman, Kayla Kim, who had these allegations, told Entertainment Weekly that she didn't know that Spilo had been chastised and called Survivor out for its lack of transparency. She said, one of the things that truly makes Survivor special is that the production lets the players play. We say what we want to say, and we are left as much as possible to our own devices. This is what has kept the integrity of the game. However, on the flip side, it has created a relationship where players can't ask for help and producers can't step in. I did not know about Dan getting a personal warning until I watched the episode. If the production was going to give Dan an official warning, they should have just pulled him from the game or at least informed me so that I was aware of how it might impact the game. After the November 13th episode aired, CBS and MGM released a statement saying the episode broadcast last night, several female castaways discussed the behavior of a male castaway that made them uncomfortable. During the filming of the episode, producers spoke off camera to all the contestants still in the game, both as a group and individually, to hear any concerns and advice about appropriate boundaries. A formal warning was also given to the male castaway in question.
I'm lost.
On Survivor, producers provide the castaways with a wide berth to play the game. At the same time, all castaways are monitored and supervised at all times. They have full access to producers and doctors, and the production will intervene in situations when or where warranted.
So what happened?
I don't know. I don't know what the inappropriate behavior supposedly was. That's the one thing I'm not clear on.
Yeah, I'm really lost in the story because I thought you were saying in the beginning that they made up the fact that he had inappropriate behavior to get him voted off.
I think they added to that. Okay. So, but you know what? I'm not really sure.
So the point is let them go. They monitor them. Obviously, they have cameras around.
Right.
But they let them do the game. That's what she was saying.
Yeah.
Almost every episode, he apparently has been seen touching some of the female contestants in a way that one would assume they would be okay with it. Much more familiarity, I'm reading this, than they were comfortable with. So he was doing this episode after episode, and it looked like they were more and more uncomfortable with the way that he was touching them.
All right.
Huh.
Anyway, it's just shocking. Survivor is still on television.
Yeah.
39 seasons.
39 seasons.
8 p.m. on CBS on Wednesdays, by
the way. At a certain point, you're going to run out of places to go to, and they'll be in Wilmington.
Steve, I'm interested to see what you think about this. Mickey Rourke, 67 years old, was spotted at Cipriani downtown this week, dressed like a, quote, futuristic cowboy and snuggling up to a Russian woman who goes by the name of Olga, who appears to be around 23 years old, according to Page Six.
God.
I know.
First off, Mickey Rourke these days is just a wreck. Death Row Marv, the character he played in Sin City, looks better than Mickey Rourke currently looks.
He is tinkered with so much plastic surgery. He looks like a
beefy Waylon Flowers
and a strange doll of some type in the face.
Exactly. You know, like, it's made of plastic.
It's really weird.
Like a Dick Tracy villain.
Yeah. Something like that. It's just, he does not resemble himself.
Okay.
And I'm not even talking about, like, when he was really young and looked super duper, you know, good looking like he was. He just doesn't even, there's no leftover of who he was.
We're looking at a picture. Real life. It's like I want to ask you about that new ranch hand you hired.
Yeah.
What's up with that guy?
I feel like he kind of looks like, and I need to see a side by side, but he looks like Michelle Tanner from Full House when she was like 2 years old.
When she was two?
Yeah.
You might be right.
There's almost a weird baby-like quality to his face. It's really strange. But apparently he
My name is Michelle Taylor.
They reported that he was gently caressing her face and neck.
Oh, boy.
Rourke was...
You have a pretty face.
I just default to his character in Iron Man 2.
Where is my bird?
I want my bird.
My bird. You want a bird?
I want my bird. You want Milton Berle?
No, bird.
I want my bird.
I don't even know if that was a proper Russian accent
Dude,
or not.
Dude, there's a scene because he's supposedly a computer genius in that, where he jumps on this on a keyboard and he's typing, and he is when somebody's fingernails
what you're talking about
look really messed up. That's usually a sign of poor health.
Yeah,
like they look bluish and large.
They look like hooves. I mean, they were like clunk, clunk, clunk. It was almost like you had a Clydesdale typing.
Yeah, there's a lot of times doctors will look at your nails because that tells some important things
about your health.
About your health. And I it looks messed up, man. So
where is my bird?
Did you say bird?
Look up in the sky. It's
oh, my.
My bald. Look at the little.
who's your favorite basketball player?
Larry.
You have a favorite first lady?
Yes, Lady Johnson.
What about a jazz trumpeter from that?
Charlie Bird.
What about that contest we did on the radio?
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Bird is the word.
Oh, man.
Rourke was most recently linked to 33-year-old Anastasia Makarenko.
Tiny Ho.
Yeah, I don't know.
Even in Iron Man 2, he looked good. I mean, he looked weird, but he didn't. I mean, he was cut up. He was in good shape.
He was perfect. He was perfect for the wrestler.
He was sensational.
Just like it had been beaten regularly.
And honestly, he was so good.
Oh my God.
And heart wrenching.
Right. Phenomenal movie.
And those moments were so good. And you know, he went through a lot. And he loves those dogs, and that's great. But stop it already.
Yeah. Too late, really.
Yeah.
Let me see. Just a couple more quick things. Gigi Hadid and Zayn Malik are reportedly in touch following Hadid's split from the Bachelorette alum Tyler Cameron.
Well, you know, they used to be an item, Preston.
Yeah, so they're rekindling. Reports.
Are they canoodling?
E! Reports it's not official.
Fingering?
But they're in communication.
Okay.
They dated from 2015 to 2018 with a few issues in between, but apparently they are trying to hook back up again.
All right, what's he from?
One Direction.
He's the One
with
Direction
Harry Styles.
Guy?
Okay. And Harry Styles, too, so a little bit of shaded him during SNL. Oh, it all comes together. I have stories.
But she was dating the dude from The Bachelorette.
Right.
Tyler. But that's over. I got to mention this. Tony nominee Ephraim Sykes is set to star as Michael Jackson in MJ the Musical, which debuts this summer. Producer Leah Balak and the Michael Jackson Estate announced Sykes's starring role on Thursday. Christopher Wilson is directing the show, which will cover Jackson's career milestones, featuring Jackson's catalog of hits and a book by two-time Pulitzer Prize winner Lynn Nottage. Despite the scrutiny and accusations the late pop star's personal life have seen recently, Sykes has said he looks forward to showing Jackson's, quote, human side.
Of course. I do have one, you know.
Really?
Absolutely.
Sykes has appeared in Hamilton, an American musical, Memphis, Newsies, Motown, and The Little Mermaid.
You have an idea. Why don't you look at my balloon knot?
Really?
And
that's your
leaving
idea.
Neverland. That's one of the things he used to do. He used to have, well, according to the subjects of the documentary.
Look at my butt?
Yeah.
Wow.
It was fun.
Wow. It was fun.
It was fun. Fun time.
Okay.
Jesus juice. Right. Home Alone.
Yeah.
It's all there. Monkeys and everything.
Yeah. Neverland.
Neverland.
Peter Pan.
Peter Pan.
Yep.
You the man.
Who the man?
Who the man? Yeah. Certainly not here.
Yeah.
No, don't like him.
All right, so we are going to roll out the movies opening this weekend. It is actually a big, big movie weekend. We're going into a holiday weekend. So I have a couple of big films I'm going to bring up to speed on.
So exciting.
We will start with this one, 21 Bridges. It's an action thriller directed by Brian Kirk, stars Chadwick Boseman.
Filmed here.
Was it filmed here?
Yeah.
Sienna Miller, Taylor Kitsch, J.K. Simmons, and others. A detective in the NYPD hunts down two cop killers after the authorities close all of Manhattan's 21 bridges. So they filmed it here, huh?
Yep.
But it supposedly it takes place in New York, but they filmed it here.
Yeah, no one wants to admit they're here.
And it is rated R, hour and 39 minutes, got a 43% at Rotten Tomatoes. Mm. Now, the bigger movies opening this weekend are A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood.
Yeah.
It's a drama directed by Marielle Heller, and it stars Tom Hanks, Matthew Reese, Chris Cooper, and others. Based on the true story, a jaded journalist, Tom Junod, learns about kindness from the beloved Mr. Rogers.
So this is a true story, a true conceit where this journalist is sort of going to, in a way, see the underbelly of Mr. Rogers and ends up loving him to death. He's the real deal.
Rated PG, hour and 48 minutes, 97%.
Wow. You know what? I think this is going to appeal to so many people.
I agree.
And I think, when you're looking for a feel-good movie, just the kind of movie that, that people always throw around, this is the movie we need. But I think this is sort of a movie that everyone can take a few hours and be distracted.
I hope I find the time to see that this weekend. But there's another big one, and
I'm so glad they didn't go with Mickey Rourke for the role.
Oh, my God.
It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood.
I'm sure you have a special.
Look in the little cage. It's a bird.
Can you imagine?
Want to be my neighbor. Please, want to be my neighbor.
He takes off his shoe and throws it through the wall.
Yeah.
I never liked that wall. Hey, Mr. Feely, go to hell.
All right, the other really big movie opening this weekend.
Lady Elaine, I'm going to put my hand in your ass.
Probably get out to see this. Take my daughter to it. Frozen 2.
I want to see this.
Yeah.
No way it's going to be as good as the first, but that's okay.
You don't know.
It might be better. Disney has that ability.
Yeah, my daughter has been listening to the soundtrack, and she says that the songs are amazing.
All right.
I don't know about Justin's 13-year-old's opinion, but still.
For this, absolutely.
I'll tell you, the animation and the scenes that I see in the trailer remind me, Preston, a little bit of Zelda.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm really down with that, then. Family Adventure, it's directed by Chris Buck and Jennifer Lee, and lending their voices are Chris
Mickey Rourke.
Let it go.
Yeah. Kristen Bell, Idina Menzel, Josh Gad, Jonathan Groff, Sherling K. Brown, Evan Rachel Wood, Alfred Molina, Martha Plimpton, Jason Ritter, and Jeremy Sisto. And Elsa travels out of Arendelle into the enchanted forest beyond in search of the truth about her powers. It is PG. It's an hour and 44 minutes long, and its score so far is a 78% at Rotten Tomatoes. But it's gonna blow out the box office this week.
How did the original what did the original Frozen end up with on Rotten Tomatoes? Because it wasn't critically.
I don't know, but it was the highest grossing animated movie of all time.
Hang on, you gotta hit their high note here. She can sing, man.
Hottest Disney princess.
Yeah. And I agree. Hottest Disney princess. I would absolutely agree. Good question. Nick is looking that up right now. The original Frozen, how did it score at Rotten Tomatoes?
I saw Alicia Vitarelli did a whole recap of the movie and stuff, and she loved it. She said it was great. Now she has a little daughter, so she's into that kind of stuff. But yeah, she said it was amazing.
Is this the kind of movie you could go to just wearing a coat and no clothes
underneath? Yeah, absolutely. No?
It had a 90% from the critics and an 85% from the audience.
That's the original one.
Yeah.
Okay.
What is Frozen 2 at?
76.
78 for the critics.
Okay.
So we'll have to see what the audience thinks about it. But anyhow, that opens this weekend. We haven't even done the clips yet, man.
Oh!
Yeah, we got to get to that. Sorry. Let's see. Let's start with this one. Sarah Bellot is the wife of Rob Bellot, an attorney who finds himself conflicted between his career and the safety of his community in the film based on a true story, Dark Waters. In this clip, Anne Hathaway talks about having a real person to base her character on.
It's not a small thing to have a stranger come and say, okay, I'm going to represent you to the world. And I think a lot of people would have had a wide spectrum of reactions, but hers was unfailingly generous and honest. And my performance was allowed to be so much richer because of that.
I don't give a f***.
It missed an obvious title. It should have been Thanks Bellot.
Thanks Bellot.
Yeah.
Dark Waters comes to theaters today, by the way. Here's the next clip for you. Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood brings the classic American television personality, musician, puppeteer, writer, producer, and Presbyterian minister back to life. In this clip, director Marielle Heller discusses why Mr. Rogers shouldn't be viewed as a saint.
One conversation I had with Joanne Rogers over the course of preparing for this movie, nobody from Fred's camp of people likes it when we refer to him as a saint. And it was sort of the first thing people would say is, oh man, he was a saint. And she was the one who really said, you know, if you think of him as a saint, he's not accessible. It's something that we can't attain if we're viewing him as a saint. And you need to know he wasn't. He was a person.
Shut the fuck up!
Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood does hit theaters today as well. And there you go. That's what I got for you.
So two big family. I assume that's NC-17.
Yeah, it is. It's rated PG.
Okay.
Yeah, so.
Or the F word.
Yeah, it's going to be good. Yeah, they dropped a couple of F-bombs in there, which led to that rating.
Normally, yeah, we do, like, family birthdays and stuff like that, and I forgot to mention, but I had, like, two, a niece and a nephew celebrated a birthday yesterday and today, so I forgot yesterday. Right. But happy birthday yesterday to my niece Julia, who's actually Preston named after this song.
Oh. Beautiful song.
Beautiful song by the Beatles. And then today is my nephew Owen's birthday.
Alan.
He's named after Throw Mama from the Train.
Oh, my God. My sister hates it when I do that. I go, but you named him Alan. You know? Owen's like 18 or something like that today.
18 or something like that.
I assume, right? He's a senior in high school.
I don't know. We don't know.
That would make you 18.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Happy birthday, Owen and Julia. All right. I want to give away some God Charles turkey bacon. They're stopping in today, and I have some 6-packs of coupons, good for 6 full-size packages of God Charles turkey bacon. So we'll take callers 15 and 16 at 215-263-WMMR. You can look for God Charles and new easy-to-read packaging at Acme, ShopRite, Redner's, and Walmart. We have so much stuff to give away. I'm probably going to be giving something
Do
away
it.
Every time we start talking. So get yourself ready to win some goodies. Let's take a... I just gave the soda thing away, right, Casey. Yeah. Thank you. We'll do that next. All right, we're going to take a break. We'll come back in a moment. At some point this morning, we'll give away some tickets to join us in the Preston and Steve suite at Monday night's Flyers game.
Ooh.
It's suite night, and they are collecting food for Camp Out for Hunger. There's a lot of people that are collecting food. And we'll give you a rundown of some things as far as the Camp Out for Hunger is concerned in a little bit. We'll take a break, come back in a moment. Marlon Wayans is scheduled to be here. We have a guest and plenty of stuff for you to win today. Stay with us.
Ladies and gentlemen, your attention, please.
Acme Markets proudly supports Preston and Steve's Camp Out for Hunger beginning Monday, December 2nd at Xfinity Live in the Wells Fargo Center complex. If scheduling prevents you from attending in person, you can still make a difference. Stop by your local Acme throughout November and make a donation at the register. Just look for the Camp Out can when you go. Your donation goes towards foods that fill abundance needs most to help area families. Go to WMMR.com/campout
for complete details and a list of especially needed food items. Acme Markets and 93.3 WMMR, putting Philly first.
So the Camp Out for Hunger is coming up, and we do have some things that we're working on for your entertainment value, not just during the radio show, but afterwards as well. So hopefully you'll have a chance to come by during our broadcast. But if you can't make it till other points in the day, we have some things that are going on. So Monday, we're going to do a we're going to play basketball. We're going to do a knockout tournament on the Sixers court right there at the Wells Fargo Center parking lot.
I mean, when do you get an opportunity like that down on the Sixers hardwood?
So after the show on Monday, we'll be doing that. That night, Monday night, the second will be comedy night in the Victory Beer Hall. We've done this the past several years.
Yeah.
And we got some big names that unfortunately we can't really name yet because they have some contracts set up. And but you'll, I think you trust us on this. So make a donation, come out for that. Then Wednesday afternoon, we're going to have some members of the Flyers stopping by around 2 o'clock to sit down, chat, meet some people, do some stuff like that. Then that night, Wednesday, is the calendar release party.
Wow.
At Xfinity Live. And live broadcast from Jackie Bam Bam, who will be in the tent.
What we used to do at Chickie and Pete's will be folded right into the camp out with the desired goal of getting more food for the Phil Abundance.
Yeah, in the past, we've, you know, you come by and you just get your calendar for free. All we're asking for is a donation.
That's all.
Some canned goods, which you can, you know, check the Acme storefront that we'll have set up there if you want to, or you can bring some stuff from home from your pantry. You want to clean it out. That's cool, too. Whatever. But that's all that we ask for. So that's Wednesday night. And then on Thursday, we're going to have a Flyers pep rally at 11 a.m. The Flyers have a game that night. And we're actually, they're going to let us on the ice that day around 1 o'clock, and we're going to skate.
It's freaking amazing.
And I think we're going to open it up for 50 listeners and a friend, so 100 people total, and we'll get you the details. We're still working on that, but you need your own skates. And if you've never been down there to skate, pretty damn cool. And they've got a game that night, which is awesome. So these are just a few of the things that we have set up, and there's more to come as far as activities during and after the show. And we'll start teasing things like the City 6 Challenge, which is going to be on Tuesday, Case?
Tuesday morning. The 8 o'clock hour. That's what's going to happen. And if anybody knows Coach Billy Lang, need them to email me back.
Is he being a bastard here?
No. Right. No, I'm just not. I've heard back from every single person except for those guys. But the problem is I don't have, like, they had a coaching change.
And
a whole regime change over there at St. Joe's. So as a result, I don't have anybody that, like, I've been dealing with.
Maybe we should just invite Martelli back.
No, I want Coach Lang out here. So if anybody knows anybody over there in the athletic department, just, you know, respond to an email.
All right,
cool.
All right, please do at St. Joe's.
You're the only one.
Let them know. You're the only holdout. Everybody else is on board and has been on board for the last several years.
I don't want to say bad things about you.
No.
No.
Don't put us in that position.
Don't put us in that position.
But we will if you don't come.
And Monday morning, by the way, during the show, we're on course to do our world's largest gender reveal.
Yeah.
How they're going to happen. So we're excited about that. Did you guys get the email that Marissa sent over from a listener?
Yeah.
It was a gal named Julian Polinski really wanted to be there. She sent this long email about how important we were to her and her husband as they were going through infertility treatments.
I didn't see this. Yeah. No.
It's a really heartfelt email, and she wishes she could be there. She can't make it, though, but she was just thanking us for, you know, kind of being an entertainment while they were on their way to the fertility treatments and stuff like that.
All right. Well, she'll be there in spirit.
Yep. Jillian will be doing that. And then I got this other email, which I thought was pretty cool. This is from Christy Hoos, H-O-O-S-E. Said, hey, I realized that today, 11 years ago, the show hosted a MILF and DILF mixer at Barnaby's in Havertown.
I remember that.
It was a really good one.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
On that night, I met my now husband.
Huh.
And he had left without getting my number, wrote into your show, you guys read it on the air, and I called in, and we've been together ever since.
Aww.
In March, we celebrate 10 years of marriage. How great is that, man?
What about love?
She said, I just wanted to reach out and thank you and the show for bringing us together. We built a beautiful life together, and if it weren't for the night, we never would have crossed paths. Not only have you given many years of happiness, but a really cool story to tell on how we met. So thank you again. You guys rock. And that is from Christy. So I thought
that was
a nice note. A decade they've been married. since that night.
1 year. We're going to have to at some point in the new year, not now, there's too much stuff going on, but make a concerted effort to try to find out, get a ballpark figure of how many weddings, babies,
yeah,
so on and so forth have occurred from our mixers over the years.
I'd like to do a gathering of yeah, people like that. You know, I think that'd be kind of cool. That'd be a nice picture of all of the people that we've managed to
right,
have a hand in having a lasting relationship with. And then eventually, someday, Steve, years from now, let's meet all the kids.
Let's meet all the kids.
We'll still be around when they're old enough to drink.
Of course
probably,
we will.
Right?
Yeah, and we'll be on respirators.
We could have a party, yeah, and invite all the...
And that's the point, President, at which we start a cult.
It's the perfect
time. That's the perfect time.
Yeah, yeah, because we somewhat created them. So anyhow, thank you for the email. All right, what's the story, man?
So Marlon Wayans is hanging out with Coach Billy Lang from St.
Joe's. Oh, really?
Okay. And they were supposed to be here, I don't know, 6 minutes ago. Traffic, meteors, I have no idea.
Okay. All right, so maybe Marlon Wayans, maybe not.
No, definitely Marlon Wayans. I got an email.
We know Marlon Wayans. Yeah, we know. He's good folk.
We know. I hadn't planned on sitting here and having a discussion because we were scheduled to have him in. So I do have some things that we could get into.
Let's do that, and we'll proceed along. And if he gets in, he gets in.
Yeah. All right, you know what?
Does he know that we have turkey bacon?
Oh, man. Maybe nobody made him aware of that.
He must
have heard about the turkey bacon.
Marlon! You know, it's the second we mentioned the turkey bacon. Yeah, there we go. He's going around saying hi to everyone. We go back with Marlon. There you go.
Hey, all right, we'll get Marlon.
We were going to stall Marlon, but we figured... Yeah, it's all good.
Marlon, by the way, is going to be performing at Punchline tonight. Yeah. There's two shows, 7:30 and 9:45, and then Saturday at 7 and 9:15. There is even a Sunday show.
Yeah, we added a show at 9 o'clock. 12, what time is the show?
7.
11:45.
Okay.
No, we added an 11:45 Saturday show because everything's sold out.
Wow.
So y'all get your tickets for that.
All right.
I think there's more tickets left. I bring this wonderful Caucasian woman with me.
From
Punchline. She knows the schedule.
Yeah.
Schedule lady. We good for just 12 o'clock? 12 o'clock. She's out in form, she is.
A midnight show on Saturday?
I'm trying to work. I told y'all, I'm trying to be somebody. I got to pay for my mama's bills because that's very expensive taste.
Does she?
Does she? For a woman that, you didn't treat us like this. We grew up in the projects. You living in luxury.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. Somehow it turns around and you're having to make sure she has all this stuff.
It really is terrible.
My mom lives with me, and so we have Christmas coming up, and it's like, I want to be nice to her on Christmas, but it's like she doesn't need any more stuff.
You lost me at my mom lives with me.
Well, my father passed away. She was in a big home by herself.
Oh, okay.
She had to put her dog to sleep. It was a really, really, you know, sad time. I had the space in my house.
You are. You are a great son.
Yeah.
If there's a heaven,
if.
You're going to get in.
Oh,
I moved my mom to L.A., and we all watch her, but.
Yeah.
What on a closed circuit camera?
On a nanny cam. But I just don't think I could live with my mom. I let my mom stay in my house one day, and I gave her my bed.
Yeah.
This woman cursed me out for 48 hours, and I said,
why?
We ain't going to do this no more.
No.
Because she said, you look like your father.
Whoa.
And she dug into me. Yeah, poor him. He got it for 40 years. I only got it for 48 hours. And I was like, look, I love you, but we're going to pay the money and put you over there.
How old is she?
She's 83.
But
she got, you know, she's a little older. She got diabetes. Don't tell her this, but I think she may have dementia. Don't tell her that.
Okay.
Oh, no,
all right.
She swears she got all. I know what I'm talking about. In your reality, yes. Everyone else is not really.
Dementia can break two ways, because I know there's sometimes, and listen, it's obviously something formidable to deal with, but I've seen people who have it who are just, every day is awesome.
Yeah.
And it's, and they've met you 400 times, and they're only happy to meet you for the 401st time. And say, this is great.
Well, I wish she was at that level. She's somewhere in dementia purgatory.
Okay, she's trying to decide.
It's not this or that.
I got you.
But it's quite fun
dealing with it because she's funny. And me, all my brothers and sisters, we have a funny family. So
was it your dad though that gave you more? Would you say of the comedy?
No, it's my mother. I know for sure I'm going to have dementia in about 30 years. It's coming. I can't wait. And if it doesn't come, I'm going to act like I got it just so I can get away with stuff.
Yes,
but no, my mom is the funny one. My dad is silly. And my mom is funny, but my mom is only funny when she's mad. Like, when she's not mad, she's, like, punny and corny.
Right.
Like, she likes, like, puns, and it's not
funny. It's not your style.
But when she's mad, oh, the things that she said. My father would piss her off, and I think that's when she would curse him out. And then they would have makeup sex, and that's how we were made.
Oh, really?
Because
you must have had a lot of fighting going on.
Well, at least 10 times. My mother cursed my father out every day. And here's the beauty of her. She never used the same joke twice. And that,
wow.
If you could see somebody every day for 50-something years, and you never have the same joke, she got new material on him every day. I looked at his feet from different angles. I was like, it do look like they throwing up gang signs. His toenails do look like pumpkin seeds.
That's great.
Oh, my God.
Pumpkin seeds.
Oh, that's great.
I love it. She sounds like a character, man.
Yo, she's funny.
Does she crack you up still, man, at this point?
Yeah, I take my mom on a date every... when I'm home,
yeah.
I take my mom on a date once a week. Like, she could... That's our date. Yes, you my little boyfriend. And so I take her. She comes downstairs. I pick her up. I hold her arm. Everywhere she goes, because she's losing... eyesight ain't great.
All right.
But I just think she likes the attention. So I'm like, okay, Ma, there's some poo right there. Don't step on that. There's a step right here. Here's the curb. I actually went, I put it in the car, but when I put it in, I throw her in. She's too heavy to just kind of put in the car.
Right. So getaway?
And she laughs. I throw in the car. She goes, you just be throwing me places. I put a seatbelt on her, and then I take her to the restaurant. I hold her hand.
Yeah.
I order her food, and I take her home. I walk her to her doorstep. I'm the most gentleman man with my mother.
Wow.
She's like, oh, I see why you single, because, oh, all right. They must all love you. Yes.
So that leads me to my question. Does she give you advice on your own love life?
Yeah, all the time.
Does she try to meddle?
No. My mother's very respectful. She's just like, well, baby boy, you are a wonderful human being. I don't think I'm married because I really feel like I want to leave that number one slot for my mom.
Well, I'll tell you this also. Oh, you, that's the best way to get laid, is to say stuff like that.
Yeah. I don't want her to have no competition. And although my children's mom is a wonderful girl, and she, you know, she loves my mom, but I just think my mom, I was born on my mom's birthday. She's very possessive
of
boys, and I just want to give her that while she's here.
Well, you made People Magazine's your sexiest runner-up, correct?
That's another reason why I stay single.
I was going to get to that. So you got sexiest runner-up. You love your mother.
I can't believe I lost to John Legend. I'm sorry. I am way sexier than John Legend.
Well, if people haven't seen it, you're rocking a Lando Calrissian photo shoot.
Put him in Lando Calrissian photo. I don't think John Legend could be that sexy as Lando Calrissian. He sings wonderfully. I can't sing like he does. I can't do none of what he does at the piano. And no, people are not as sexy as his wife. So maybe he is sexier. And I don't have an EGOT. Okay, I'll give it to him.
The singing makes him sexy, I think, to women, most definitely. But, man, this photo shoot, that is on point.
That's great.
I had to follow Billy D. You know how hard it is to follow Billy D? Every one of my sisters and my mama wanted to give Billy D some.
Everyone. You remember the time? I remember Billy D. Like at the time Mahogany came out, that was the height.
Yeah.
He was the absolute sexiest thing, and that was it. Did that predate People's?
No, it was that and Lady Sings the Blues.
Right,
I remember my sisters was watching that. They was watching it. I thought it was a 70s porn on. They were watching. It was so hot in that room. And it was just a regular movie. Yeah. I was like, calm down, cats.
Yeah, he got it. He's great. So, well, that's, listen, even getting runner-up status and all this stuff,
That's all wonderful. And you have a lot of stuff going on.
Yes.
You're in the new Aretha Franklin film, aren't you?
I sure am. I'm playing Ted White.
You're playing her husband.
The abusive husband.
This is a heavy role.
It's a heavy role. It's no comedy, that's for sure.
But kudos to you, man, because we've always said you're a good actor.
Thank you, bro.
That you would score this is the anticipation is high on this movie.
Bro. Well, it is, and it's so far so good. Everything we've shot, I mean, it looks amazing, and I think the director, Lucille, is amazingly talented, and what she's given to this movie and the production and the staff and just everything about the cast is amazing.
Yeah.
Jennifer Hudson, for Forrest Whitaker and myself, and it's just I'm just
could happy. You make this movie without Jennifer Hudson? She's like the
when I mean, how about she's this? Amazing. Aretha Franklin was like, you gonna play me.
No kidding.
And when that person I have no idea who's going to play me. I have no idea.
Billy G. Williams.
I love Nick Cannon, but he ain't going to play me.
No, he's not as talented as you.
I got so many weigh-ins. He's talented. I give Nick
not
his credit.
Not as you.
Hard work is the talent.
Okay.
All right. Nick is a very hard worker. Like, Nick works so hard. If slavery still existed, they would give Nick a raise.
They would give him a slave raise?
They would give him a raise. Like, yeah, that boy works way too hard. Let's give him a something. We gotta pay him something.
There's a little extra something in your check.
Can I ask you what your thoughts are on the turban, though?
I hate it to death.
It's horrible.
I love him.
Yeah.
But I'm like, there is no way that's going to come in style. No, Middle Eastern people stop by him and goes, that looks ridiculous. I just wish a genie would appear out of a bottle and give me one wish, and that wish would be, forget the $1 million, take the damn turban off Nick Cannon's head.
Marlon, I have a theory that he's so far into it now that he's got to stick with
it. He's committed.
Yeah.
He's committed.
He's so far into it.
It's like the dude who had the mullet. One of these days, somebody's going to be drunk, and they're going to go, that's a cool haircut. It's going to become a fad.
Yeah.
I painted my fingernails for a year, and I was like, at a certain point, I was committed, and I did it into like one straight year, and then I was like, okay, well, this gives me an out.
I see they're gone.
Yeah. Toenails are still done, but
yeah.
Now that's just weird. That's just as weird as the turban. So why don't you and Nick Cannon get together and start a new track? Turbans and toenails.
You don't get pedicures?
No.
Oh. Do you do any sort of manscaping? Any sort? You do with anything?
I do it when I need to.
Yeah.
I do it. You know, I do my recon and see who likes what. Because some people like the bush. And so
the other way? What? How do you feel about your the women in your life? You like hardwood floors or what do you? What do you?
Do you? If you like carpet, go for it. It's yours. You see it every day. I'm enjoying it however you feel it's
all right.
special.
All right.
You know? You don't get manicures.
I don't get manicures.
No?
I've only grown my nails a little bit for this movie, and
you
I've been biting
shiny
them.
And nice.
I just have good health and hygiene. So I don't have dirty nails. That's a sign of a nasty man. If he got dirty nails, don't let him touch you.
Well, what if he's a mechanic? And they got, like, the grease on
you
their
You can't wash your hands? What are you doing to your cars? You shouldn't have that much
right.
They
make,
on
they make
your
grit
hands.
For that, right?
You're a grown-ass man. There. Get your ass in the shower.
So that's cool, the Aretha Franklin thing. And then you work...
And I also got a movie with Sofia Coppola directing.
On the Rocks?
Yeah, On the Rocks. Bill Murray stars with Rashida Jones, and I played the romantic lead in that. This is two romantic leads in a row, leading to the sexiest man, the runner-up to sexiest man... And alive.
You know what's cool, though, is that you stuck. Well, yeah, you will.
I'm so confused because it's not supposed to be me. I'm by far the ugliest Wayans.
Disagree.
Sean is way finer than me.
Has he ever been on the list?
No, Sean's been on the list. Sean stays on the list. They have a spot for him. My mama knows Sean is fine.
Really?
Like, you got to do the work. Sean ain't got to. You bring your ugly ass here and clean up all his mess. Sean called. Oh, he just called. That made my day.
Who made fun of Keenan the most? Which of the brothers made
Nobody.
Fun of
Keenan? Nobody. You see how buff Keenan is?
Yeah, yeah,
you crazy?
Yeah.
Keenan took karate. Keenan was the one brother. That, plus, he was a perfect child. Him, Kim, and maybe myself were probably the three most. And I mean, my brothers and sisters would get mad at this, but perfect meaning like we did well in school. We went to college.
Yeah.
We were never arrested.
if we stole, nobody caught us stealing.
You were good. You were
smart. Yeah, yeah. We didn't do a lot of drugs.
Was Keenan a bit like a bit of a father as well? I mean, you had your dad, but Keenan seemed to be like...
Keenan was a co-pilot.
My
dad was flying the plane. But, right. You know, when my dad's a narcolep. When he fall asleep, Keenan be like, oh, thank God, we was going down. He would take over the wheel, thankfully. My dad raised us to be men. My brother raised us to be businessmen and taught us the industry. So
that's brilliant.
I've been blessed, man.
Yeah, that is really cool. In fact, all you guys, and every time we
I wish Nick Cannon had an older brother and a co-pilot. If someone could tell him, take that damn turban off. See, my brothers would never let me wear a turban. Yeah. Right.
I love it. I love it.
I think Halloween next year, I'm going to go as Nick Cannon.
Oh,
I'm going to wear a turban and an ugly suit.
Do it.
Okay. A big tie and some glitter shoes.
Let me ask you about something, because you've grown up in the spotlight, right? And we have seen, you know, marriages in Hollywood fail quite often. And I've also posited that that is because people in Hollywood, especially, you know, your A-listers, have people around them that tell them what they want to hear all the time. And then when they get married, they finally have somebody that tells it like it is. And they don't like that. I have a question for you, because you grew up in a big family, and it seems like they always keep you grounded.
Yeah.
Is that safe to say?
Definitely. My family, definitely. Whenever I get a big head, they come pop. They like
Humpty pop that.
You like that?
There's always someone to blow a door. Every time I feel good, my brothers give me reality, you know, and I love that, because it's the thing that keeps me out of trouble. And, you know, the only thing that's real in this industry is the work, and you have to love the work and enjoy the party after you've earned it. So you work, and then you party. And in short celebrations, it's kind of like you won a championship. Hey, we're spraying champagne. That's tonight, but tomorrow we got to work on what's happening.
I agree with that. Honestly, whenever there've been on occasion where we'll get, you know, accolades or so on and so forth, and it's wonderful and that's very cool. And you put your head down and then, okay, now let's just keep going.
What's next?
Because I always think that's like, that's fine and that's wonderful, but let's move ahead. What's next? Exactly, because
some
when you lose
party
that,
too much.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did a performance. Woo! Bring out the champagne.
Yeah.
We're the cope. Let's rock. You got 3 more shows tomorrow. Cancel those.
Our midday host is a guy named Pierre Robert, and I love this story that he tells from time to time. He got to go to one of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame induction ceremonies. He's at a table, and Mick Jagger's over here, and Jackson Brown's over here, and he's in this rock royalty room, right, and enjoying it. And living the life. Next night, he's back home cleaning out turds from a kitty litter box. And so you go from these really incredible highs to your normal life of cleaning up the kitty litter. And I think you have to be reminded that the kitty litter night is going to come the next day. You know, it keeps you humble.
Although, I don't think Mick Jagger's going to be cleaning up kitty litter.
Well, that's my point.
I'm pretty sure he has a cat turd person that works for him.
Yeah, it's Keith Richards.
Mick's been so successful, he can live a party.
Yeah.
He has the right to live a party.
There are levels.
Yeah, there's levels to this. But I'm not at that level right now.
You saw the footage of him after he had that heart incident, where he's in that dance hall training and doing his stuff, and the guy's like bopping along. He keeps at it.
He works.
I didn't know he had heart trouble.
Wow. Yeah, right. So they had to postpone. They delayed the tour because he had a procedure on his heart. I guess it was like
Mick Jagger's so rich, he can go, I'm going to take this heart out. Ringo, give me yours.
Ringo.
That's the wrong band.
Yeah,
but
yeah, no, it doesn't matter.
Ringo's still around. He's got like it.
Hey, if the heart works, get it.
Good. They probably know each other.
Oh, man.
I'm pretty sure.
Since you were here last time, and we were shocked to hear it when John Witherspoon died.
Yeah. Man,
he was your dad on the Wayans Brothers show.
I can't run from it. Everywhere I go, I've been trying to forget about it, but I can't. This has been the hardest death for me since I was... Probably, like, one of the hardest deaths ever, because John was he was like a second dad, like a third dad.
Such a naturally funny guy. When he was in here, he did it, you know, he didn't demur from anything. We wanted him to do everything, you know.
Bang, bang, bang.
Yeah, exactly.
Don't tell nobody. All we did on Wayans Brothers, makeup dances, makeup songs. we laughed. I never had an argument with John Witherspoon.
Yeah.
We worked together 5 years. We never had an argument. He was always so helpful. Like, me and Sean, we would go to war with the writers, and John pulls us aside. But now, look here. You boys, y'all, watch out.
You know, you got them. You got to get them keys. You know, once you get the keys, then you can do what you want to do. Then right. You can tell everybody F off. But till then, you got to work on them keys. So be humble about this. Don't get your show canceled because I got my little son in private school. Alexander, I got him playing white sports like golf. Don't mess that up for me.
Such a good guy.
He always kept us grounded. And he's always tell me, Marlon, you got to get them keys. And the keys, I was like, what's the keys? Keys to success. See, right now you got the acting key and you got your producer key, but now you got the actor and the producer key and the comedy key and you got the drama key. Here's the key I want you to work on. You need that stand-up key, because now you got all those keys. You can open the door to anywhere you want to go.
That's great advice.
It's the best thing that
great advice
I was ever told. I didn't really listen to that advice till 10 years past Wayans Brothers, and now that I've been doing stand-up comedy, I feel like the career that's happening for me right now is because of I'm getting the keys.
But you do, and you've done that. We were leading off the conversation, you're talking about drama, the stand-up, and also writing and producing the movies.
That's the keys. Got to get them keys.
And that's how you got, when there are periods, and everything's cyclical, and you made it through the down, not that there was really a down.
No. Yeah. A lot of people disappear. After, I've been here for 30 years, and I still haven't peaked. That's the scary part for me is I've never been the guy. I've never been the guy to get the best scripts in Hollywood. My years of being the guy is coming.
I think so.
You know, Marlon, it's interesting you bring that up about the keys, because I've found over time that great advice, the best advice, you don't even realize you got it until like 7, 8, 9 years later. Very and then true. You look back and you're like, okay.
He was right.
Yeah.
And he was right. Especially because like the keys, the things, all the keys that I've been getting now is opening up the doors for me to do all the things I wanted. It's all coming together because now you got the key to every door. And there's no way that you can be stopped. You do everything. And now what do? You just go do everything.
It's so cool. Yeah. So has the Aretha Franklin film, is it completed?
I'm filming right now.
Still filming right now.
I filmed last night till 7 o'clock. I got on a plane, came to Philly. Got 7 shows this weekend. And then I fly back Monday and I go right to set. Let's get it.
Wow, man.
We got to get them keys. See? John Wilfoon said, bang. But you got to get them keys.
Yeah.
Everybody in this room, you got to get them keys. You ain't got no keys, get a key.
Where are you filming?
I'm filming in Atlanta.
Okay.
All right. So how hard is it because you're not the only one who's got several things going on. So how hard is it to film something like that when you have so many people that are got their hands in so many different things?
When we are on set, we are focused. Like, as soon as I land, I will, the other day when I landed in Atlanta to film, I got out off the plane, I went to the gym, I worked with the acting coach for 3 hours, and then I slept and got up so I could go to a set and be prepared to be directed all day long.
That's got to be a mother, though, because you're playing like a guy who's not a good guy.
No,
and then you're hanging a 180, and you're here. You're going to do your stand up.
But it is. Here's the thing. Even though it's not that he's a terrible human being.
Yeah.
You know, I think if you play him as a terrible human being, I think you lose the levels. I think people are just damaged people.
Yeah.
And people can honestly fall in love with damaged people. And damaged people. Some relationships are just doomed from the start because of the type of people that they are.
Right.
So what's beautiful about this journey is I think what we're doing is showing the love between the two people, because I think that's what's important before you see the damage.
Yeah. Marlon's playing Ted White, who is Aretha's first husband.
Look at that photo.
Is he still alive?
Ted White, yeah.
Did you meet him or anything?
I haven't spoke to Ted. I wish I could. So until then, I hope you like my interpretation.
After she passed, though, there was a big fight because she had not left, I guess, a comprehensive will, and they were fighting over the money. I don't know if that's still going on legally.
I don't know what it is about. Like, my mom and my dad refuse to do a will. I'm like,
yeah.
Y'all ain't gonna be here for so long, mama. Listen, you got one kidney, diabetes, and 3 other things. I don't know how long you're going to be here. You want to write something? I'll just type me something. No, baby. I'm going to work this out. God going to work it out. Leave me with a mess. And my father, I'm buying buildings. He missed the Monopoly. I'm like, y'all going to leave me with a mess. And see, here's the thing. Old folks nowadays, like me, I'm
47, I already have my will in place.
Yeah.
I know where my watches is going. I know where my jackets is going. I know where my money is
going. Can I just get one watch? Just one watch.
I'm going to leave you some turbans.
Halloween costume.
Marlon, getting back to respect, Mark Maron's in it as well. You have any scenes with him?
No, not, yeah, I will have some scenes with Mark.
Please tell him we said hi. He's a great guy. And,
he's a wonderful comedian.
Yeah.
I love his voice, and he has a great podcast, and I'm looking forward to working with him.
Yeah, this is awesome, man. It's good to see you. Talk about a career high and that you haven't peaked yet. I'm looking at the resume, looking at all the stuff you have in the works. You're the sexiest man. You're the next Lando Calrissian. Mm. It's unbelievable. Yeah.
No, I wish I was the next Lando Calrissian. That's Donald Glover, but who knows? Maybe he'll be touring, and I will be the next. You put in the universe, so God's going to make it happen.
Absolutely.
Now I want that Star Wars key.
So Marlon is playing Punchline tonight, 7:30, 9:45, and then it's tomorrow night at the Add of the Show. So 7, 9:15, and a midnight show?
Yes, 11:45.
And 11:45, and then a Sunday show. So, yeah, man, 7 shows. A lot going on this
week. I'll add another one Sunday if y'all sell this one out. Let's go. Let's get this work.
PunchlinePhilly.com to get your tickets. It's always great to have you here, Marlon.
Always great being here.
Thanks for keeping coming back to Philly, man. We love it.
This is my favorite stop in Philly. You guys
thanks, man. Love it, man. Appreciate it.
5 people that I really like, and that's hard.
Appreciate it, man.
You're on the
I got that one. Marlon Wayans is here.
Thank you, Marlon. I appreciate y'all.
We're going to take a break. I got to give some away. We got so much stuff to give away. I got to give away something right now. We'll take callers 5 and 6 and give you Fast and Furious Presents Hobbs and Shaw right now. 215-263-WMMR. It's available now. Digital 4K HD, Ultra HD, Blu-ray, Universal Pictures, Home Entertainment. We'll be right back.
The Preston and Steve Show podcast. 93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks. Now, bizarre. WMMR presents bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
Brought to you this morning by Lorenzo's and Sons Pizza. Lorenzo's and Sons Pizza has been family-owned and operated since 1970. Visit Lorenzo and Sons Pizza at Xfinity Live in Westchester and in the Wells Fargo Center. We're going to see them right there at Xfinity Live when we're doing the Camp Out for Hunger.
That ain't too shabby.
I have inside information I can't say yet about another location that's going to blow you away eventually. But we'll get to that at another time. All right. I have some stories. I have one in here. Well, I'll preface it when I get to the story. Let me start with this one. A woman has allegedly been caught stealing multiple pairs of jeans from a clothing store. She was filmed removing her loot one layer at a time after putting them all on at the same time to try and hoodwink security guards. Apparently, she had eventually put on 8 pairs of jeans.
Oh, 8 pairs of jeans?
Yeah.
Going up to what size?
That's a damn good question. The unnamed woman stands in a bathroom as she takes off pair after pair after pair until she gets down to her panties. As she removes the clothes, a man filming can be heard counting them as she leaves them around her ankles. In total, she had 8 pairs of jeans on. It's believed that the woman was filmed in a bathroom in Venezuela, although the exact location is not known. The country is currently going through political crisis with hyperinflation, civil unrest, escalating starvation, crime, and high mortality rates. So I'm sure people are stealing jeans.
Well, how lucky the pervert had set up cameras in the bathroom.
Exactly. All right, so this man's life was saved, but this very well...
Is this the preface?
This could make Kathy puke. All right. This particular story. So, quick-thinking surgeons on board a flight from southern China had to improvise to save the life of an elderly passenger who had almost a liter of urine trapped in his bladder.
Oh,
the unnamed passenger ran into trouble around 10 hours into the China Southern Airlines flight to New York on Tuesday after complaining to cabin crew that he couldn't urinate. With 6 hours to go before landing... Dr. and I'll do my best to get these names correct. Dr. Zhang Hong and Dr. Shai Zheng Zhang had responded to the pilot's call for medical assistance. A passenger was placed on the floor on his side, and Zhang said he had to assess the situation quickly. He saw that there was a risk his bladder could rupture, and that could kill the person.
Absolutely.
All right. So he said that his abdomen was bloated. He could not sit still and was sweating a lot. He was going into shock and may have suffered a risk to his life if we didn't tend to him urgently. His family said that he had a history of prostate enlargement, so we suspected this was causing urinary retention. The doctors punctured the passenger's bladder.
Oh, my God.
And improvised a makeshift catheter using a plastic tube from a portable oxygen cylinder, a syringe from the plane's first aid kit, a plastic straw from a milk carton, and some tape.
That's awesome.
This is like, you know,
Apollo 13.
Yeah. However... Zhang discovered the syringe needle was too thin, so he had to do this. He then siphoned out the urine using his mouth, sucking most of the fluid over half an hour, and then spitting it out into an empty wine bottle.
Kiss boy.
Mm. Wait, this was a doctor?
This is a doctor.
Wow.
You're gonna die.
He said it was an emergency situation. I couldn't figure out another way.
Well, what are you going to do, right?
He said, when I saw that the man could hardly bear the pain anymore, my own thought was how to get the urine out of his bladder. The passenger laid down for another half hour to recover and was examined by a doctor upon landing. Apparently, he's going to make
it. Could have been worse. Could have been fecal matter.
Yeah, he could have had to suck the poop right out of
anybody
that
got a spork?
Body. Yeah.
Oh, God. Dear God.
Wow. But this dude did it, saved the guy's life, man.
Oh, my God.
Kathy, you want to see a picture?
Yeah, there's a picture of him sucking the pee out of the guy's body.
Yeah, that's him with the two thumbs up.
For a straw, yeah.
Yeah.
Dear God.
That's good piss.
All right. A South African lawyer was shot and killed by a falling gun in court on Monday in what has been described by local outlets as a freak accident. Mm. Adelaide Watt, a senior state advocate, was in court when a loaded gun on display fell and accidentally fired a shot. The weapon, it was in court to be used as evidence in a home robbery case. Watt was struck in the left hip, was taken to the hospital. She later died from that.
So this is evidence in court.
Yeah.
Falls down, discharges, and kills someone.
I don't know why it was left loaded, but police are investigating the incident. And they're calling it a case of culpable homicide.
That's what I would call it.
School officials say ground-penetrating radar has located in Tampa, Florida, 145 graves on the ground of a high school. Hillsborough
High School prank.
County School Board Chairwoman Tamara Schamberger said that the graves are located 3 feet to 5 feet beneath portions of Tampa's King High School.
Jesus.
School district officials learned in October that the mid-20th century Ridgewood Cemetery for the Indigent and Unknown was located on property later used to build the school.
The school's rival football team had gone missing.
And it's pretty wild, the overhead picture they have of it. I mean, there's just caskets all over the place there.
That ground-penetrating radar is pretty amazing.
Yeah, it's been used to search for some of the 250 people buried in Ridgewood. The newspaper says records show that part of the cemetery was on land now occupied by the school's gym and the main parking area. It is the second lost cemetery discovered this year in the Tampa area, by the way. And then we'll do one more story and wrap it up this way. Would you ever wait in line to sniff crap from a wild animal?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
People are doing that at Wuhan Zoo in China, waiting to get a sniff of droppings from giant pandas.
Are they particularly pleasant smelling?
Those who have given it a sniff say that it has a fragrant smell.
Really?
It's fragrant? Crap is fragrant.
This is going to rock your world, but it smells like poop.
You can smell that.
Yeah.
Others said it smells like bamboo or bread.
Well, go figure. They eat bamboo.
Pandas are actually poorly adapted for digesting bamboo, so their droppings mainly consist of broken bamboo leaves, and apparently it smells like bamboo. Okay. So there you go.
Got to bring that to the Philadelphia Zoo, Kathy.
Smell crap, and there you go.
The next attraction,
in the B file for you. All right, so we have our suite night at the Flyers on Monday. I have a chance for you to win tickets to join us in that suite. We'll take caller number 16, 215-263-WMMR. Monday, they're playing Vancouver, and it's going to be Hockey Fights Cancer Night. All fans get a Hockey Fights Cancer rally towel. But they're also collecting canned goods. Flyers are collecting for the Camp Out for Hunger. So please bring some of that with you. But we'll take caller 16, going to a game with us, 215-263-WMMR. Get your tickets now at PhiladelphiaFlyers.com. We're going to take a break. We'll be back in a moment. Mr. Jim Norton will be in our studio when we return. Stay with us.
Like the Preston and Steve Show podcast? Check out MMR's other audio on demand at WMMR.com or on the MMR mobile app.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors. Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Our next guest is going to be at Helium Comedy Club. Not only shows tonight and tomorrow night, but there's a Sunday show, too.
Yeah, tickets are going fast.
Yep, Saturday, there's two. Friday, tonight, there's two. And then Sunday, one show at 7 o'clock. He's back in Philadelphia, Jim Norton.
Yeah. Thank you. Saturday sold out, and there's, I think, 40 tickets left for tonight, so okay. Sunday is probably the one to go to.
Better grab right. that mother up. Hey, yeah. it's good to have you back, especially because The Irishman is the Scorsese film, and you're in it, right? You play Don Rickles.
Yeah, I didn't know I made the final cut until I saw Ray Romano at the I was so paranoid they're going to cut me out.
Yeah.
So I hadn't heard anything. Scorsese's office would tell us nothing, and then I saw Ray the night before at the cellar.
You're
like,
in?
Yeah, he's like, yeah, hey, you're good.
I'm that's like, all right, awesome.
Great, so I made it in.
That is so awesome, because the word on this picture, which we've been waiting for a long time, like 3 hours plus, I think.
3:29, and when they hit it, they said he cut it down from 4 hours. So I'm like, I know I'm on the cutting room floor because everything I do that I like, I get chopped out of.
So you haven't seen it yet?
I did. I went to the premiere okay. actually.
How do you look? Or did they pad you up a little bit? Don's bigger than you are.
They
you know?
Padded me up. It was a weird thing. I found out 10 days before that I was getting it. I didn't have to audition. They just I went in and Scorsese just met with me and he had seen my specials and he's like, yeah, I think this guy can do it.
That's awesome.
So I had 10 days to eat and try to put a few pounds on, and they mm-hmm. fat padded me and they fixed my hair and they kind of shaved me bald and did a comb over. I wish I would have had like another 2 months to get ready, because I would have eaten probably put on 15 more pounds.
Wow. But it's actually perfect, and it's a perfect casting. I mean, not that you're, I mean, an insult comic the way he is, but yeah, in general, that's a great bit of casting.
The head shape. My head shape is like his.
But to get in a Scorsese film and then sort of be nail-biting down to the last second to see if you're going to be in the final cut, how much screen time do you have?
It's probably about a minute. It's not long. It's because Joey Gallo, the thing he did before, it's common knowledge, before they killed him, is one of the things he did was he went and saw Rickles at the Copa.
Right.
So I'm in that evening for him. So I think that's why they kept it in, because it's not a critical plot point, but it was like something he did before he died. And it's really funny. Kimmel brought it up the other night, and I didn't know it until the morning when my show was on and my co-host told me.
Kimmel's a huge Rickles fan.
He was, and he brought up that I played Rickles, and to hear Scorsese talking about me, I don't think he would have remembered my name if Kimmel didn't say Jim Norton. I think, and the Scorsese went, yeah, Norton. Like that. Like if he would have said anybody else, Scorsese would have said, yeah, that's right, it was Denzel. He played Rickles. I don't think Scorsese cares about me. But the fact that he left me in, I mean, it's a surreal experience, because, you know, you grow up. When I walked in to film, it was a one-day shoot, and that picture was in Montreal.
There's a picture of you next to Don Rickles. And there's a similarity in.
Yeah,
he must. Did he ever see you perform? And if he did, he must have loved you.
We did the Tonight Show together once, and it was. I did a segment, and this was nothing to do with me playing him or anything. And he liked it a lot, and he said, "Oh, you were really funny, man." I was like, which was great to hear.
Rickles
complimenting you. But that was in Montreal. Gabriel Iglesias and a bunch of guys went in. We all knew he was real old, so we kind of just went to pay tribute and be in the and just to sit and watch Don Rickles. And he was the lovely guy. I was very skinny there, though. I looked a lot better, but I was really very HIV-y at that point.
HIV-y. Yeah. No, but man, it's so cool. And so for that day, Scorsese is, God, the body of work is just amazing. You're there, you've done acting, you've been in some stuff, obviously, it's what you do. But when you're on set, and I gotta ask, you have Martin Scorsese directing you no matter how long you're on screen, does a chill go over your body? How do you physically react to having that legend directing you in a scene?
Well, De Niro and Pesci are in the scene. So when I walked in, I walked into the Gotham Comedy Club, which they had made look like the Copa.
Yeah.
And it was, there was three people in there. It was De Niro, Pesci, and Scorsese.
Whoa.
I guess talking over what they were doing.
And it's in his wheelhouse. It's a gangster
movie. What he does. And I'm looking at it, and the first thing I thought of, this is Raging Bull.
Yeah.
Like, this is Goodfellas and Casino. Yeah. And I had done something with, actually a couple things with De Niro before, so I didn't go crazy. Right. I just, hello. I've never had to play it cool.
Right.
But I wanted to grovel and get a photo, but I couldn't do it before.
Right,
it's
right.
Unprofessional. Hi, guys. How about a picture? And then, right. Seriously, he's an actor. But it was a really, it was so, almost so frightening that it wasn't scary.
Oh, okay.
It was like I clicked. If I had one more click in fear, I would have panicked and shut down.
Yeah.
But I was so nervous that I was calm.
Oh, that's cool. It's almost an out-of-the-body experience then.
It was like Scarlett Johansson being on her hands and knees in your room. You're like, this is not happening. But if you had a second to realize what was happening, yeah. Forget it.
Just go with it.
It's going down. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So that is cool. So you saw the whole movie, the whole deal. Was it like a red carpet thing or was it just...
Yeah, okay. I can't believe I got it. I literally found out again the day before that I was going to get to the premiere because everybody wanted to go to it. It was very, very hard to get tickets to. And the fact I got very lucky and I got in and I walked the carpet, but I really didn't talk to anybody. I kind of snuck on because one of the guys from Netflix security knew me. So he kind of snuck me onto the carpet and I just stuck my fat face in. There was some actress who was in the movie and I put my head right in front of hers. I'm like, I just want this picture for myself. So I don't. It exists somewhere. The entire cast of The Irishman and me like a screensaver poking my head in. I have to see the photo. So I don't know where it is. But
so
it's around.
It's a weird dynamic too with this movie because they released it in the theater for, I guess, Oscar consideration.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And then, but it's a Netflix film, and so is it this week coming up, right? It premieres on
27th,
Netflix.
Yeah. Right. I think it's a great film for Netflix because it's so long that it's one of those things where if you want to pause, go to the bathroom, or get something to eat, like, it's just hard to watch 3.5 hours in a theater.
Totally.
Doing anything. So yeah. The fact that you can watch it on Netflix, I think it's a smart place to put it, and that's why he left it long. It's great.
This is by far the longest film score
ever made. Yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's long.
Yeah, it's a long mother. So I follow you on social media, and I was on Instagram. You posted a picture, which I love. It's you. It's Robert Kelly. It's I don't know how many years ago it is. It's Bill Burr, and it's Otto and George.
Oh, and Patrice.
Yeah, Patrice.
That was for...
Where was that from?
That was an Opie and Anthony shoot for Thanksgiving for... It was either FHM or Maxim magazine.
Wow.
And we did a big Thanksgiving spread, and those guys... Yeah, it was Bill, Patrice, Bobby, Otto, and myself. And the picture makes me sad now, but I found it, and I'm like, ugh.
It looks like... But at that moment, you seem to be... You can see you're having a great time.
Oh, yeah. Just with those. It's hard with Patrice being dead. I'm, you know, it's like... Or Otto being dead as well. It's like,
yeah.
I look at those photos now. I'm like, man, it's like, you know, you got to enjoy your friends. It sounds so corny, but when you hit 50 and over and your friends start dropping dead of natural causes, you're like, oh.
Well, we were just talking off air about we have a mutual connection, a friend who died, and it sort of stuns you. And it's like, when you notice on air... Oh, wow, that guy died. Well, yeah, because people get older and die. But you know, you sort of get this quasi-epiphany in life where, like, why are all these people dying? Because, you know, life doesn't go on forever, and that's what's happening. It's a sobering thing. I wanted to ask you about Otto and George, though, because having seen him a number of times and hilarious, ventriloquist act, for people who don't know, but one of the absolute best, completely off the rails. I heard he had a lot of stories, and you've worked with so many guys who have had, quote-unquote, a whole litany of stories. Are there any great Otto and George stories that come to mind?
You know, no, there was so many rumors around Otto. Like, I toured with him a lot. Like, you know, I did a lot of time in my personal life and doing gigs with Otto. He wasn't as crazy as people thought.
Because that's all I ever heard. I always heard these stories, and it was not the case.
No, I mean, the occasional, hey, could you drop me off in this neighborhood so I can buy Coke? All right, I'll see you tomorrow. It was like, you know, a few of those. Like, right. I wouldn't stick around and wait for him to buy Coke, because first of all, I loved him, and I wasn't going to sit there and wait for him to buy Coke.
Right.
And second of all, if you get arrested while he's buying Coke, they tow your car. Right. And they impound it, and it becomes part of the crime.
Right, yeah.
And then there was this time in Lancaster when the owner goes, what the F is wrong with Otto? I'm like, what do you mean? He's like, he called every room in the hotel looking for you last night.
Oh my God.
He didn't know what room I was in. He was a little high, and he's like, is this Jim Norton? And they were going, no, and he'd hang up on him. And he'd call the next room, is this Jim Norton? And he'd hang up on him. So there's like the occasional, like, sure, somebody's in a coke-induced stupor. They act a little silly. But he was one of my favorite people ever. And I wish Otto had been more famous than he was, because he was brilliant, man. He was really, really funny.
Yeah, I don't know him. It was the most, I mean, just caustic stuff, but just, he had the ultimate deflection, Preston. The dummy said it.
Okay.
Yeah. But it was funny, and he was a brilliant kind of deconstruction of himself through the puppet, and it's different than the way other guys do it. Like, this other guy, like, you know, Jeff Dunham, those guys are really funny, and they do a great, But Otto was brutal. I mean, he was vicious. He was, and I mean, as a on stage,
yeah.
And he was a genius with the language. You know, he really was one of the most underrated guys ever.
And George the Dummy looked like, it always reminded me, because it looked like that Twilight Zone episode, the Ventriloquist Dummy,
yes.
in that episode with Cliff Robertson, where the you know the Ventriloquist Dummy is berating him, and
the head would open up. And he would do a JFK assassination bit, and the head would open up.
Oh my God.
He would reenact JFK's assassination with the puppet's head opening up. I mean, and that was the greatest.
Of that, by the way.
Is it really?
Yes, November 22nd. Yeah.
Well, the 22nd, that's right.
Yeah. This is our acknowledgement. There we go.
Is that today?
Right. 11/22/63.
Oh, my God. Wow. What? It's a I just have a knack for timing.
<How about that>?
you're so historically relevant.
Oh, man.
Yeah, he would do the thing, and the worst part was when the puppet's head wouldn't open, which would happen because he had a latch put on it, and when he knocked it forward, he would, you know, he would just do the, like, do a gunshot into the mic, and the head would open, and it was the best was when it wouldn't open, and the puppet's head would just move, and look like Elizabeth Warren's head moving forward with the hair moving, but nothing happening. Oh, I miss Otto, man. Yeah, I found that dumb picture and posted. I really miss him.
I love the stuff we talked about this last time you were here about the fat pictures from you. You have so many pictures of you when you
yes.
had a lot of weight on, and you'll post them, but you know these are it's. We hate seeing ourselves in any video or pictures and any of that stuff. When you sit down and you have to do press or do, I mean, obviously this is something that you're comfortable with radio, but do you even seeing yourself in the movie, is it something you bristle at and seeing that in The Irishman? Is it something that do you like seeing yourself, or does it?
Hate every second of it. I watch almost nothing I do. This, of course, I wanted to see.
It's a Scorsese thing. Yeah.
Scorsese,
yeah.
And I wanted to be a part of it. I'm like, don't be a dope. Just enjoy this while it's happening.
Yeah.
But no, man, I get so embarrassed and so ashamed. Colin Quinn had a great term for it, shame spiraling. That's a great term for it, and that's exactly the best summation I can give you. It's a shame spiral. It's one of those things where you're just like, oh, I'm garbage. I'm terrible. I can't watch. And it's not mock humility. I don't say it out loud. I just think it, and I cringe.
Yep.
I can't wait for it to be over.
Hey, yeah. So as your star began to rise, and I would say probably in the late 90s, early aughts.
Around 2000,
Yeah. I mean, really, it took off. Did you have people that... try to, tweak your appearance and stuff like that?
No, I mean, no one really cared. I mean, hookers. They just wanted my bank account to look a little nicer. Did you have different presidents on these bills? But then, no, nobody really cared. But that, I was listening to you. It was a really good interview, by the way, with Marlon.
Good.
I like him a lot. And he was talking about like how the best hasn't even happened yet. And I was like, God, I wish I felt that way. For me, it was great. And by 2005, I was out of the helicopter like Omar in Scarface. a peak and an off-the-cliff dive.
I wouldn't say that.
Because so, I came across these pictures yesterday of Colin Jost, who was...
love Colin, yeah.
And I had no idea what he looked like before.
Was he fat?
Oh, dude. Well, he had a couple extra pounds. He had this, beard. And it was a beard like he didn't care about grooming himself. And then his hair was, all floppy and stuff like that. And you look at him now, and he's... I mean...
I think he probably...
He's marrying Scarlett Johansson. I mean,
that's your closest shot to her in the hotel room.
That's true. Yeah, but is he happy? Yes.
But I think that seems like self-imposed.
Maybe, but also, I mean, he had to... I feel like at a certain point, he had people in his camp that said, you need to do something different with your appearance.
But even there, look at him. He looks like Willem Dafoe. It's not a disaster. It's like he's still got, a handsome...
The shell is there.
He looks rugged, yeah.
Right. And you can screw on that. It's one of the things that drives me crazy when and you hear it, we've talked about this on the show, where somebody who's incredibly gorgeous or whatever, I was a tomboy, right? I looked weird in school. I couldn't get it. Knock it off.
You can right.
Somebody just is genetically blessed. But in comedy, I think, it's especially for what you do, it's more forgiving of... I mean, we're treating you like a Schmeagle, for Christ's sake.
No, but you're right. Yeah. It doesn't matter what I look like. If I get fat, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. No one cares.
Yeah. But let me ask you something. Do you have a manager?
I do, yeah.
You do, okay. I was
agent, yeah.
Yeah, I figured an agent, somebody who helps, get jobs and stuff like that. But a manager, like Casey said, somebody who guides your the way you do things. Because comedians seem like they're just kind of, but you act as well. But comedians seem to just roll at their own pace or whatever they want to do,
Yeah, I do have a manager. I do have an agent. And the guy, the manager kind of guides you. But my, here's what my manager's flaw is, and I love him. He doesn't smell BS as fast as, like, meaning, like, everyone says they love you. He's an LA-based guy. They're like, Jim, we love you. Big fans. Shut up. You're not a big fan. You're not a big, because you're not putting me on anything. Like that. He's like, Jim, they love you. I'm like, John, they haven't called you back in 6 months. They don't love me.
Right.
Yeah.
He's a really nice guy. Whereas I wish that he didn't believe people as much as he does.
Right.
But he's a much smoother guy than I am. But it's like, how do you not smell that guy's lying to us?
When you hear those stories about those people like that who are really adept, like in old Hollywood, those old agents and managers who really knew how to, I mean, really play the game and really do that stuff. It's fascinating. We're talking about who is Leno's agent and longest
the
time.
The woman, Helen Kushnick.
Like she was a real shark. And she pissed off a lot of people, but
she got
him to the Tonight Show.
She did.
Some say that in ways his reputation was damaged. I think he was able to extract himself from that and not suffer the consequences. But it's, you know, sometimes you need to have someone who's does have a really adroit BS detector, who has a bit of a vision. But it's hard because it's like we have an agent because it's not, you know, you can't go in and say, this is why we're wonderful. You know, this is, somebody else has to do that for you.
Someone else is speaking for you and they're going, oh, he's great. The other show sucks. Yeah. And my manager, he's good with that stuff. Like, whereas Helen Kushnick was a monster. Jonathan is great. He's like, Jim, we should send a thank you card. Like, he's a really good guy. Yeah. Everybody loves him. So that's where I'm awful and he thinks his stuff.
Right.
Because I would think everybody's lying to me. I shot something for Netflix that airs New Year's Eve. It's The Degenerates. It was a 20-minute
special. I love that
special.
Show.
It's a great show. Yeah.
I'm really happy I did it. But I said, I didn't want to do it at first. I said, no, I want to do an hour. I'm not doing it. It was my ego. It was stupid. And Jonathan talked me into it, and he knew that it was a good move, and he was right and I was wrong, so I shut my mouth and I did it, and I'm glad I did it.
So I'm glad that that comedians are actually taking the reins more often with the content that's being put out there.
Yeah.
And so the
Degenerates.
Thank you.
It's a tough word.
It is a tough one.
Who else is on the bill with this?
Everyone has an episode, but the one episode is myself, Donnell Rawlins, Miss Pat, Bobby Kelly, Adrian, Appaloosia. I can never say her name. She's very funny, and Nikki Glazer.
Okay.
Adrian's the top left. I don't know why I said that. You obviously know it's not Donnell or Bob Kelly.
I also like...
He always impressed me as a black gentleman.
I also like Ari Shaffir. I think he's the one who put together the This Is Not Happening.
He did, yes.
And have you done an episode of
I did it when Roy Wood Jr. is hosting it now. Him and I think Ari... did he get fired? Did he quit? I talked to him when it happened. I didn't know if he... It was... He went and did like a special for Netflix and Comedy Central got pissed
off. This is a show where people... these are anecdotal experiences and they relay... And you all relay something.
Yes. It's storytelling. And like real storytelling,
it's
right?
It's incredibly engaging. And it's some of the wildest
it's
stuff.
It's not always funny, though.
No.
Diaz.
Joey?
Joey Diaz is... His actually... It's kind of sad. Is yours radio friendly by any chance?
No, I mean, it's a true story about a bris I went to. I went to a circumcision in the home, and I went to one of those. I would say not really radio friendly, though.
Okay.
I miss doing it on the road. That was a fun bit to do.
Do you know, it's wild because you talk about also careers, when you start to see someone take off, like Nikki Glaser seems to be on that, on that trajectory right now. We love her, and there seems to be sort of a she's got the classic no self-esteem, unless she's a really good actress, but she's got this thing that I think really just took off because she's super attractive, and yet she's like guys immediately connect to her, you know, like gravitate to her.
Because I see Nikki almost every day because her studio is like literally two studios down from
me. The Sirius XM does?
Yeah. I'm walking by and she works for Comedy Central Radio. And Nikki's interesting because she's really beautiful and she's hilarious. And she does hate herself, which is great, but not enough to sleep with me. So it's like I need her to just dislike herself a little more.
I bet
she has
you.
Enough self-respect to go, ugh. No.
I bet you could broker that.
Not even close.
Really?
No. We fist bump.
Jim, I was scrolling through your Instagram, which is just at Jim Norton, and you posted a few times with Ozzy over the years, which is really cool.
Yeah.
What were those experiences with Ozzy like?
I mean, I've gotten to know him over the years. I just saw him when I was in L.A. last week, and I went. He invited me to his house to listen to the new record. So I went, and he has a new one, a new song out today.
Yeah.
I think called "Straight to Hell."
Yep.
And he's like, "Do you want to come hear the record?" He texted me. I'm like, "Yeah." And I'm like, "He's like, are you in town?" I'm like, "Yeah." He goes, "Well, just come over."
Oh.
It was really weird. This was a week ago, Sunday. I was out there to shoot something for Monday, and you never know if you text him if he's going to text you back. I mean, it was just I caught him at the right moment.
Yeah.
He said, "Hey, you were great in The Irishman," and he hit me back. And it's surreal. Again, it's one of those things where. You go to his house, and it was just me and him sitting on his couch.
Wow.
And he's eating popcorn. It was like 13-year-old Jim Norton would not have handled this well. How do you want to steal towels? You know?
Yeah. How would you
process? There's two O's on it. You know?
Yeah.
How would you process that? I mean, to even think about that. But so when you're carrying on a conversation with Ozzy, you know, we obviously, you know, there's the public perception of him. Is he sitting down and having heart-to-hearts? Or what is a sit-down on the couch with Ozzy like?
You know, we talked about the process of the new. I mean, I've interviewed him so many times. It was like, yeah. You know, I mean, you don't interview him in person, but you just get comfortable with the guy's energy. And
right.
He was just talking about why he did the record and being laid up for, like, the last year because he hurt his back.
Yeah. He used to be, by the way, indestructible. And then suddenly it, like, cavalcaded. He had a whole bunch of stuff going wrong. I think that was sort of a jarring thing for him.
I think so too, but he's also one of those guys where he's done so many things to himself that the fact that he's still going, and then he got hurt and he had to pull himself off tour, but then he goes and does an album.
Yeah.
Like he always comes out on, and I don't know if that was, they said, I think Kelly pushed him to do that. But he is almost indestructible in the way that, like, all right, he's laid up for a year. He can't tour, so he'll go and do a record with Post Malone's producer.
Yeah.
And I really like it. And I'm not saying that just to be polite. Like, I listened to it.
The song is good.
I loved Under the Graveyard. I love the whole record. It's called An Ordinary Man, and it comes out, I think, in January or February. But it's weird to sit on the couch, and you just got to have a conversation. We talk a lot about sleep, because he's an insomniac, and I'm an insomniac. So we always just talk about sleep, and what are you doing to fall asleep. And
are you really? So
I'm terrible.
How
terrible
many
sleeper.
Hours of sleep do you get a night when you get it?
You know, maybe a maximum five. It's usually around four. What time do you go to bed, though?
I go up to bed at 10. I go to sleep at 11. I wake up at 3:45.
Wow, I don't get up. I get up. We're on the air. I'm on the air from 7 to 11.
Yeah.
I'm up. I'm out of bed at 6:08. A lot of times I'll stay in bed till 6:17. I'm out the door at 6:35. I walk in the door at 5 up, which is why my show sounds like it has no show prep. Because it's not. I got to have a co-host. I literally just walk in and start talking.
So what is it? Is it your brain won't turn off or...
Yeah, it's that. I have apnea, and I can't shut it off.
So
yeah.
How bad is the apnea?
It's complex apnea.
Oh, I saw you wearing a CPAP, what do they call it?
It was a mask, yeah.
What the hell? You look like an Imperial Stormtrooper.
I know, but there was actually a girl cutting gassers on the other end of that.
So I can't fall asleep on my back. If I'm like, you know, I have the TV in my bedroom, and if I end up, like, falling asleep while I'm watching TV, while laying on my back, I end up, like, choking on my own spit, and then, like, I'll wake myself up from... You know, so I understand that. So I definitely have to sleep on my front. But my cousin, he has, like, melatonin spray, and he's got all sorts of stuff. And I feel bad for because I can fall asleep like that. I fall asleep at the dentist, you know?
Oh, it's great.
It's a nightmare, though, for people. I think whenever I've been sick and you have something that's keeping you from falling asleep, and then you think there are people who are, like, you talk about being an insomniac, who every night is a crapshoot. Am I going to get some rest? I don't even know how you can... That above so many other things is something... How do you even deal with that, you know? Because it just wears you the F down.
It's constant exhaustion. It's constantly feeling stoned. Like,
yeah.
Because you can't... Like, a lot of times I've been dizzy and I have to pull over because I'm just not, like, I'm light. I think I have low blood pressure. And even when my tongue doesn't, you know, try to suffocate me, my brain... In central apnea, forgets to send the signal. Wow. So a lot of times I'll just be laying there and all of a sudden go, "You're not breathing, huh?" Like,
wow,
I'm not even trying to breathe. Like, it's a really weird...
It's weird, right?
Yeah.
So, well, and sometimes I'll have dreams where I'm underwater and I can't breathe underwater. And I just assume that in real life I'm holding my breath. And then,
yes.
And that's got to be scary.
Oh, it's terrifying. Yeah. But sometimes in my dreams I'll be underwater and then... At some point in my dream, I will figure out how to breathe underwater. So I never, ever wake up from the dream. It's
I mean, you make pissed. Yourself. I've had the same it's dream, but I was lapping out of the toilet when I woke up. It was a little submarine floating by. Man, I was thirsty and hungry.
Oh my god!
I have those weird dreams. Like where I pee a lot at night, I have to jump up and use the restroom, and then somebody told me, no, that's because you're not breathing, so your body makes you feel that way to wake you up, so you breathe. Like I'll snap awake and then run to the bathroom, but I'm like, oh, that was my body waking me up because I wasn't breathing.
Do what I did. Have your prostate surgically removed.
Did you?
It's a wonderful thing. Yeah.
Do you use Cialis. I love Viagra. I love all of them. And it's not even a blue chew. Not even because I have to, but sometimes there's just that extra element.
Oh, my God, yes.
Isn't it great to have?
You know it. It's pretty powerful.
Yeah, you feel like a man finally. I can't believe it. This is what it's like to be male.
Mm-hmm. We were talking about this years and years and years ago. Not even that many years ago. Maybe 10 years ago when this was not the conversation. And then suddenly you see these commercials. 100 million men suffer. Why didn't you tell us this before when everyone was going, oh, geez, I guess I'm the only one. And now all this data, now it's a big love fest because everyone's experiencing the same thing. But there's, you know, it's all over the place. There, commercials constantly for all this stuff. It's
makes you feel better about yourself.
Yes, exactly.
It does. Yeah, when I know that everybody is basically just has the same slug on their thigh that I have.
Oh, yours goes down all to your thigh. Awesome.
Oh no. When I'm laying on my back, gently over to the left. Trust me. No.
You've been doing radio for a long time. Do you feel more comfortable on this side or that side of the interview?
Both. I mean, I love it. You know, and it's like when I'm on a show, I know that the worst thing person can do when you're interviewing them is not give you information.
Yeah.
Like, there's nothing worse than somebody who won't answer questions, who won't talk, who's like, mm-hmm, yeah.
Yep.
What do you want me to do with that? It's one word. Yeah. You know, not that you have to embellish everything, but people who won't talk. But I love both sides of it. Like, it's fun to have a conversation because we have a lot of comics on our show, and I love having guys on.
Yeah.
But the worst is guys who either interrupt everybody and don't shut up or guys who give you nothing. So right. I honestly love both sides of it.
Yeah, the best is when you have an interview when you can not necessarily ask a question but just make a statement and know that there's going to be a response to that statement that you're making.
Yeah.
You just did right there. I didn't even ask a question. Look at you.
You did.
Yeah, but people who don't want to give you anything. And sometimes, and there's been times as an interviewer where I've said things. It's like, well, that guy would have deserved nothing. Because I just said that movie you did was really good. And I'm like, what do I want the guy to do with that? It was a terrible question. I just said, you're an actor. Boo. So I know I've got flaws on both sides, you know. Sure.
There was a time, we've talked about them, we all have our moments, and many of them are immortalized recording. We were interviewing Tom Berenger, and I completely forgot who the F we were talking to. It was a phone interview, and I'm like, you know, God, do I just pick a movie and hope he was in it?
Ask about Kevin Bacon. That seems to work.
Yeah, right? Have you ever been and had a moment like, oh, my God.
Yeah, I've had blank moments. I've had moments of just asking something and it going nowhere. Everything that can go wrong, you know, like where you just, who is a rough, Jeffrey Tambor, who I actually like.
He's supposed to be a prick, though. That's what I've heard, is that he's a terrible interview and he doesn't give you anything.
He was a weird interview. We had him a couple of times and he got mad the second time because it was like he was asking... we asked him about, this was an Opie and I had our show together after the O&A had fallen apart. And Opie was jokey with him. He wasn't even being vicious, but he asked him, hey, do you look good as a woman? Like, asking about transparency. Just, you know, it's a guy's question you're asking.
Sure. Yeah.
I mean, I happen to be in that world because I like trans girls, but not everybody does.
Yeah.
And Jeffrey got very self-righteous about his joke. And it's like, who are you lecturing on that? It's
and
like,
then you find out that on the set he was abusive to a lot of the people he was that came out after that. You heard about that, right?
And yeah. And he got self-righteous about it. And I'm like, dude, I've been having sex with him. Not that that gives you license to joke, but don't sit there and lecture. Don't pontificate to me about what's right to joke about. So he was a weird interview because he got really sensitive about a subject and took his acting too seriously.
Who was the worst?
Paris Hilton. And I wish he was better. And I hate to say that because it seems like, you know, an easy talk. Yeah, like, she gave nothing. It was like one of those things where I watched her new reality show whenever it came out. And look, it's not in my wheelhouse. But it was okay. It was better than I thought it would be.
Right.
So we're asking her questions. And Anthony was asking her questions about the sex tape. And it's like, not even being abusive, just literally asking. And it's like, you did one. It's out there. Talk about it. It's okay. No one was trying to humiliate her. We don't talk about that. Whenever a person you're interviewing says we, as in we, the group, they should be executed. They're terrible interviews. We don't talk about that.
Oh, yeah.
And then she said, I was asking her something about the show, and she's like, well, you have to watch the show. And I'm like,
no.
Leaf Garrett. I had Leaf Garrett on our show recently, like probably 10 days ago. Sam didn't really care about him, but I'm like, nah, he'll be great, dude.
No.
He hung out with everybody.
Yeah.
He appeared to be on heroin. I'm not going to say he was.
Oh, man.
But he gave us nothing, and it was another read the book. And I'm like, I read the book, stupid. I'm trying to help you sell copies of it.
If they don't get that, it drives me crazy. One of our wildest experiences was with Leaf Garrett. You remember the VH1 special? Remember the behind the music?
Behind the music, yeah.
He had that deal with the guy he crippled in the car accident, yes. So on and so forth. And the guy, you ready for a bomb? He comes on the show with the band The Melvins. And The Melvins were, Kurt Cobain used to roadie,
yes,
for The Melvins. So he's going to come on and perform Smells Like Teen Spirit. He comes on. It's horrible. It's like, it's not, it's so bad. He stops in the middle of the song, Preston. You remember that he goes out to the hallway, goes down halfway down the steps, sits down and starts crying. We had to send an intern
had his
out.
Hands in his head in his hands. But he wasn't a bad interview.
He was a pretty good interview.
He was a good interview.
That's the best thing I've ever heard.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I wish half the people I talked to would go cry in the hallway. That's amazing. But no, he wouldn't give us anything. Yeah. He wasn't being mean. He just was like, I asked him a question about, like, you know, sleeping with different people. I go, I don't talk about that. Well, then what are you writing a book for?
Yeah. Right.
Yep. Worst interview we've ever had, I think, Wayne Brady.
Wayne Brady.
Oh, jeez.
I thought you were going to say Queen Latifah was bad.
Oh, she sucked.
She just, she just woke up. The thing about Queen Latifah is, like, she, I think, was still laying in bed, and somebody handed her the phone and said, all right, you're on.
But to Jim's point is that we're trying to help you.
Yes.
We're trying to help you. Don't abuse our audience by coming here and not giving us anything. We're here, we're accessible, we want to talk, we want to converse, we want to find out about you. But when you don't, it's like, if what are we imposing upon you to promote your product?
It's the worst. Sometimes they don't know they're going to do the phone call, but it's almost like, hey, would you show up on the set and tell the director, like, it's like, well, this is my job. This is what I do for a living. You think this is a hobby? Yeah. I'm just showing up to talk to you because you're terrific. I get paid for this, you ass. Make it good.
Yeah.
So, I hate people that won't do that, and I've had those type of interviews where they just give nothing almost on purpose.
Yeah. I was lucky enough to meet Robin Williams one time. He could not have been a sweeter man. His show was incredibly fun. He performed at the Tower. You have a few pictures of you and Robin. He was so kind and caring, but his persona offstage was very different than his persona on, of course. What was your experience with Robin Williams like?
Well, I regret giving him a tie.
Damn it! If only you could have seen.
He was loved. I loved him. Yeah. He was a really sweet guy. We had the same manager. I mean, that's how I found out. Was my manager called the day that before the news broke and told me. Here's why Robin was so amazing. He would come into the Comedy Cellar, and he was an icon among comics. Like, he was one of those guys that has an he's been famous since the mid-70s. He trumped everybody. You know, he trumped Seinfeld or Chappelle or anybody that would be there. Robin was the guy. He won an Oscar.
Yeah.
And he was Robin Williams, and he would sit there at the table and talk politics and hang out. And he couldn't have been more humble. And it wasn't fake. It wasn't put on to seem like a nice guy. He was legitimately a sweet, humble guy. He was really, really a lovely person, man.
Wow.
But again, you know, I knew he was very depressed because I had asked about him, and they were like, "Nah, he's in bad shape." Like, he was just, you know, he had depression, man. I mean, that type of
Lewy body dementia.
This is how self-centered I am. There's a picture of Jeff Ross, Robin, and me, and all I can think of is what a fat head I have. That's all I take out of that is, why is Robin talking to that surly-looking pig? Oh, that's me.
I was thinking your hair looks great.
It does, yeah, but it was almost like too unkempt at that point. Look at my chin from the side. Like, it's like I'm asking him, hey, do you have a shell I can live in? I'm just an awful
person.
We all
do that. I'm right with you, man.
That's not a bad chin, Jim.
Thank you.
Listen, we feel the pain, but
Ross's chin is much bigger than yours.
I know. I love the fact that Jeffrey's the only one looking at the camera.
Jeffrey looks like a mall caricature of himself.
He does. He really does. And now he's bald. And I forget, guys. I forget Bill Burr used to have hair.
Yeah,
I saw Bill recently.
In that picture, he looks like the heat miser.
He's got red hair. Yeah. You forget your friends go, like, you know, because we're all aging together. You forget that your friends used to have hair. And I'm going to do the Jeff Ross thing eventually. You know, Jeff Ross looks like Jeffrey Tambor at the end of, what was that, And Justice for All?
Yeah.
When he, after he's throwing plates. That's a great reference, 1979. Where's all the young people at my shows?
Hey, you guys remember the Battleship Potemkin?
It really is awful. Guys, Kane Mutiny. I'm doing 5 minutes on it to open.
The court martial scene is great.
Isn't it great? God. Oh, he was so confused, but you felt for him.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
He used geometric logic.
Hey, Jim, you're doing a meet and greet at the shows as well?
Yeah, but they sell tickets for them. Because, and the reason we do that is I used to sell merch, and the clubs, everyone got furious at me because I would stand online for too long, and every show was late. So they're like, if you want to do them this way.
They want to go home.
And then, yeah, over the years.
So there's an extra charge for that.
But again, if you want to do it, if not, you know, believe me, you've met me. I'm accessible. You know what I mean? Believe me. If you want to Hinkley me, I'm there.
Yeah.
All right. Well, the shows are tonight, 7:30 and 10. And then you said Saturdays.
Saturday's sold out. Okay. Sunday, there's a few tickets left. And I think tonight's probably sold out. But now there was 8 tickets on one and 30 on the other one. That was what tonight's show broke down.
So jump on it. Sunday shows at 7 o'clock. And, or I think so. Yeah, I got them right. 7 o'clock. So you can go to heliumcomedy.com to get the tickets. Dude, it's great to see you again.
You too, guys. Thank you so much, man. I love the show.
And we'll see you in The Irishman. It's Jim Norton, guys.
Thank you, guys.
Helium Comedy Club. We're going to take a break. We'll be back in just a moment. Make sure you stay.
Preston and Steve's Camp Out for Hunger begins Monday, December 2nd at Xfinity Live inside the Wells Fargo Center complex. The business challenge is such a big part of Camp Out. And props to Subaru of America for leading the way and challenging other companies to get involved and make a difference. Heritage Business Systems, now a Xerox-owned company, is encouraging any size business, large or small, to donate. One business will be selected at random to receive a 36-month lease on a Xerox full-color copy print and scan system. The Preston and Steve live broadcast from your place of business is still up for grabs for the largest donation. Go to WMMR.com/campout for a list of especially needed food items and all business challenge details.
I wouldn't want this to be a regular feature, but I am once again the angel of death. Music, because
it's time for the necromancer.
Yeah, there were a couple of people that passed, but with very interesting and very influential aspects to their lives that they're definitely worth mentioning this morning. Hotlines ring it!
Ringy ding.
We're going to start with this one. You knew the name, Burton. John Burton Carpenter, the man who changed the game on the mountain by fulfilling a grand vision of snowboarding and what it could be, died yesterday of complications stemming from a relapse of testicular cancer. He was only 65 years old.
Oh, wow.
So Burton, you know Burton boards?
Yeah.
Burton shops, that's him. He's the guy who started it.
I like the Burton gear. I do.
Yeah, I do too.
I wish I could snowboard. I tried it one time. And I think I'm afraid to do it again because I caught a front edge one time. And I went down.
That's a face plant.
Yeah, right. And I went down so hard, I thought I cracked every single one of my ribs. And at that point, I took the board off and I walked to the bottom of the mountain. That was it.
The very first time I tried it, I calculated that when on just one run down the hill, I fell 50 times.
Oh, wow.
and because it was like you would go for like 5 seconds and fall. Maybe 5 seconds and fall over and over and over. But I stuck with it.
Yeah.
And I kept working at it. And I know that things like that, you just have to keep doing until you eventually figure them out. And I did. And I wasn't good at it, but I was good enough.
You enjoyed it.
Yeah, I could do, you know, medium level runs and intermediate runs, whatever you want to call them. And I was happy. And I eventually stopped doing it because I was like, I'm going to hurt myself.
Yeah, you gave your snowboard away, right?
Yeah. I gave it up.
See, I also have feet problems. And so my feet don't do well in ice skates. I can't ice skate anymore. And that bumps
me out.
I never could.
Yeah.
This Flyers thing that we're doing at the camp out, like skating on the Flyers ice, like I would love to do that. But
bring your snowboard.
I don't have a snowboard.
By the way, I want to do that. You think Derek can get me some skates?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
You know people.
Yeah.
I know people. You're the host of the show, for crying out loud.
But, I definitely want to do it.
Yeah. But snowboard boots look like they wouldn't hurt my feet too bad. No.
Yeah, they're still, man. I mean, you know, well, you ski though.
I do, but ski boots hurt my feet.
Ski boots, okay. Well, yeah. But you do what I'm saying?
Yeah. But it's like really, really painful. And usually by halfway down the mountain, I can't wait to get on a ski lift to take the pressure off of my feet.
Yeah.
It sounds like a great time.
Doesn't it, though?
It's, it's a bummer. It's Preston, a bummer because I really like skiing.
Do you ski? Or have you skied?
Sure, yeah.
Okay, so do you know, is there one, I only ski. I've never snowboarded. Is it, is there one that you should learn first to help with the other or not really?
I don't know.
They're very different, aren't they?
They are very different. I don't think that skiing didn't help me snowboard.
It didn't help in any way, or teach you something. Because so Jace skied last year and he loved it and we're going to do more this year, but he really wants to snowboard. So I wasn't sure how to get him into it or just kind of throw him into
it. He's so young, man.
Just throw him into it. Just don't let him get discouraged because it's very hard at first. Very hard at first, but if he sticks with it, he'll figure it out.
I think I've only tried snowboarding once. I was terrible at it, so I just went back to the skis because I like doing that. Not that I'm great at skiing, but I'm capable of it. But just getting back to Burton real quick, he died of testicular cancer?
Yeah, recurred.
Isn't that really treatable?
It is. It's very. To me, it seems very rare that that would happen.
Yeah. There's apparently a couple of different types.
My
stepbrother died from it, and he got the more aggressive form of it where it can... It's pretty aggressive.
Kathy's brother had it, right?
Yeah, he did, and his was very treatable. But, I mean, he had to go through chemo and all of that. But there was a listener who had it right around the same time my brother did. I remember when he came into the studio, and he was really sick. He got very sick from it, whereas my brother got chemo sick, but then it was over.
Then it's over.
So Jake Burton Carpenter was not the inventor of the snowboard, but 12 years after, a guy named Sherman Poppin had tied together a pair of skis with a rope to create what was then called a snurfer. The 23-year-old entrepreneur, then known only as Jake Burton, quit his job in Manhattan, moved back to Vermont, went about dreaming about how far a snowboard might take him, and he said, I had a vision there that there was a sport. And that it was more than just a sledding thing, which is all it was then.
Snurfing.
This is in a 2010 interview he did. For years, his snowboards were largely snubbed at resorts. You know, there was a contention between skiers and snowboarders. Absolutely.
I remember people saying they were ruining the mountain.
Yep. But those...
You're ruining our mountain.
Those riders were a force of nature, and for all their risk-taking and rule-breaking, they spent money, too. And throughout the last decade, snowboarders have accounted for more than 25% of visitors to mountain resorts in the United States. They have bankrolled a business worth more than $1 billion annually, a big chunk of which is spent on Burton gear.
Yeah, no, I mean, no offense to skiers, because I am one, but snowboarding just looks cooler. Their gear looks
cooler. This riffraff is destroying our mountain, Charles.
It's like every 80s movie, right?
Right.
Yeah.
But
I disagree. Their equipment is so big and bulky, and the clothes are big and bulky.
The skiers or the snowboarders?
The snowboarders.
But the idea of moving the way you do without poles and things like that, it's... I don't know. It's cooler. It feels cooler. I think anyway. When you're carving like the way you do on a snowboard.
What are the you like the small the snow?
I have snow blades.
Snow blades.
I didn't want to say that because I get made fun of, but I don't care anymore.
Talk about cool.
Yeah.
They have training skis on them.
Yes. Because listen, I'm not into like going super duper fast down the mountain, and I like snow blades because they're more maneuverable and.
You ever take lessons?
Never took lessons, dude. The first time I ever went skiing, I accidentally got on the lift that took me to the top of the Black Diamond.
I love that.
Now, luckily, it was only Spring Mountain, and their Black Diamond is not that bad. But
more of a black.
Yeah.
Okay.
But still, I was like, oh, my God. I don't know how I'm going to get to the bottom of this thing. And
I took lessons as an adult, and I found them really helpful. And you sort of have to swallow your pride a little bit and say, you know what, I need some help. But once you do, it makes you better. It's like taking golf lessons.
Dude, lessons in anything will only help.
Exactly. Like ski golfing.
Yeah, ski golfing.
Ski golfing is hard.
It's really difficult.
Yeah. All right, so there was another passing of which I will...
And yet another one has cast off this mortal coil.
Now, the Vikings are mourning the death of a legendary kicker, Fred Cox, who is the franchise all-time leading scorer. But believe it or not, Fred Cox has influenced everybody in this room probably at one time or another.
All right.
And he was a native of Monongahela, Pennsylvania.
Not familiar.
Me either. Passed away Wednesday night in Minnesota, 3 weeks shy of his 81st birthday. I'll tell you about a little bit about his NFL career.
Yeah.
And then I'll tell you.
That alone is pretty impressive.
Why he affects you. In 1969, Cox led the NFL with 26 field goals, made a 70.3% accuracy rate and 121 points, earning all-pro recognition.
and helping Minnesota advance to Super Bowl IV. He was recognized on the field during the halftime ceremony in September for the 50th anniversary of the 1969 Vikings that won the NFL championship. He again topped the NFL with 30 field goals, made 125 points in 1970, went to the Pro Bowl. He is one of 11 players who were on the roster of the Vikings teams that advanced to Super Bowls 4, 8, 9, and 11. And he opened Super Bowl 11 with a kickoff and recorded the final point with a boot through the uprights at the Rose Bowl on January 9th, 1977. Now, 5 years prior to that, Cox and Minneapolis's John Maddox teamed together to invent the Nerf football.
No way.
Awesome.
Enabling young people everywhere to play with a soft and safe ball that behaves similar to the ones that he had kicked all those years. And it's interesting how this happened because the Nerf ball had already been invented at that time. But the company, Parker Brothers, couldn't figure out how to make a football. And these guys did without being commissioned to do so. They just did it on
their
own.
What do you mean they couldn't figure out how to
Because
make
the original Nerf football was a lot lighter and fluffier and spongier.
Yeah, so Cox mused that the success of the Nerf football for which he received quarterly checks had an impact on his early retirement. When told by Maddox that he intended to use a heavy ball so kids wouldn't kick it out of the yard, Cox suggested a lighter alternative, something made of foam to prevent, as he says, a bunch of sore-legged kids. Inspired by the idea, the duo had a mold made of a full-size football and then employed an injection molder in the Twin Cities region to produce a prototype of the lightweight ball. The process resulted in a thick-skinned football that was denser than the existing round Nerf balls intended for indoor play that entered the marketplace in 1970. So Steve's right. You ever play? You ever played basketball in the back of a door? You know the little hoop?
Yeah.
And usually the ball is a really light, spongy ball, really light. So a football like that you couldn't throw. It wasn't heavy enough.
Yeah.
So these guys did that. He said Cox said the weight was right when you threw it. It flew like a football. Assuming young kids would be the primary consumers of the products. Cox and Maddox had the size reduced to about three quarters of regulation size football. And then they took some samples to Parker Brothers, which at the time was selling the round Nerf balls. With the help of an agent, they pitched the backyard goalpost idea as well and displayed the new ball that the kids would kick.
I like your balls.
Now, about halfway through the presentation, a guy from Parker Brothers said, and this is according to Cox, he said, that he's not interested in anything but the ball. He said they had been trying to make a Nerf football for 3 years. Mm. Wow. They were trying to make them the same way as their round balls, taking a block of foam and using a hot wire to cut the ball out of the foam.
Just wouldn't work.
Their footballs had holes in them. They had tried everything except for injecting mold in them. And the man said, I want that ball that you guys made. And there you go.
I want his balls.
He created it.
Now, You have to kind of learn how to throw the Nerf ball. It doesn't throw like a normal football. If you guys remember last year when we did the Let's Go Birds Box Challenge, I had the starting quarterback from Marple Newtown High School football. That kid could throw a football, a
country mile.
A country mile. Thank you. Clear over those mountains, and he had a hard time. Because I had a Nerf, and I wasn't willing to take an actual football to a blindfolded face.
Yeah.
But I had a whole bunch of Nerf footballs, and he had a hard time, with his accuracy there.
Yeah, it is a different thing, but it does give you kind of I love them because they're again you could, if you wanted to you could throw it around in the house. It's just heavier. It's a different consistency. But so obviously like the Nerf. Arrows and Nerf quasi bullets, whatever they're in those guns and everything. Guns, they're all made more similarly to the Nerf balls. They're softer.
A little bit, yeah.
With a plastic tip that kind of gives it the weight so it can fly a little bit. Yeah.
But that was a groundbreaker.
I wonder,
pretty cool.
What did that equate to, I think, financially for him?
In the article I read, it didn't say anything.
They made a lot for my family because we had dogs growing up. And so when you would play Nerf football with the dogs, they would last for one round. football across the street. Right, and then they were done. But, man, it was so much fun.
Yeah, terrible for the ball.
So that's legendary kicker for the Vikings. Fred Cox had passed as well. But that's a pretty cool contribution.
Thanks for the terrible news, Bruce.
No problem. That's
should
what
it
I
be
am.
The Grim Reaper or should it be the funeral director?
The funeral director.
The Undertaker?
The mortician.
Yes.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're here to remember the creator of the Nerf football. He is survived by, we don't know.
Yeah, we don't know.
That's my mom. Every time the phone rings, she loves to give bad news. So, did you hear?
Yes!
Every single time. Like, sometimes I'm like, okay, I'm not really in the mood for bad news.
Kathy,
can we talk about something else?
The creator of the Nerf football. Did you hear?
Yes. And then she'll go into, like, a whole thing on.
And he had a very extensive regular football career.
But she'll go into, like, how amazing it was that he created the Nerf football. And, you know, you should probably create a Nerf football.
The man who created polyurethane died.
So
we've lost another giant.
So she probably gets really excited for a moment when somebody dies because she can immediately pass the information along and then composes herself and becomes a little bit remorseful.
Mm-hmm.
And
the man who was Epstein's drama coach on Welcome Back, Carter, he has whooping cough.
I get nervous when there are group texts amongst us sometimes because I think that it might mean that somebody died.
Oh, see, not.
I don't know why that is, but like, if especially Steve, if you respond because you don't always respond to the text chains.
Right,
if I see your name pop up in it, I'm like, oh no,
what happened?
It's got to be here. Yeah. Horrible news.
I must be dead.
But with that said, don't you feel good when you're the first one to relay that information?
I don't know if good is the right word, but
amazing.
There's something. No, there's
no.
Something.
Especially if you're the one that killed him.
Right. No, there's this morbid curiosity when somebody passes away of you wanting to be the first person to acknowledge it.
You're right. Yeah, no, I mean, I know what you're saying.
I feel it.
You shared the news.
Yeah.
Okay, let me ask you guys, and you're not on Facebook anymore, Nick, but when
you're on Grindr.
I'm on Grindr. When you see somebody that has passed away on Facebook, and it's usually like, you know, maybe somebody on the younger spectrum, and they don't say why or
I know
how
exactly
they died.
You think a drug overdose.
Well, but also, but like, they're going to be like, can you just tell us how? So
yeah,
I don't have
happened?
To like.
So you don't have to ask the question.
Yeah. And I will never be that guy. Hey,
yes,
how did this happen?
Listen, right. I had somebody who I didn't. I heard a long time ago, an old friend of mine, and I was just thinking of them randomly, and I did a search on their name. Turns out he had died 2 years ago. I had no idea. And reading the funeral announcement, it doesn't say how he passed. Now, it would be very bad taste, I think, for me to track down his family and go, hey, can you tell me how he died? But I am curious how he died.
Yeah.
You know? But I know what you're saying.
Yeah.
But it might be hard for somebody to
there's a great
post that about them, somebody that they're close to.
Comedy series called I Think You Should Leave Now. And it's a former SNL member, and they did a thing where there's an award show, and they do the memoriam.
Yes,
Preston. But anyway, and they put up stabbed to death under the pictures, and the woman goes, "You don't put up how they died."
Right, autoerotic asphyxiation.
Right, hit by a car. Yeah. Why are you doing that?
Yeah. Well, listen, I have something completely different that I want to share with you, and nobody died and everything, but I'm curious. Steve had asked me off air what I thought about this. Tesla has unveiled its Cybertruck pickup truck. And they also had a very embarrassing moment on stage. The truck's windows were smashed during a demonstration that was supposed to show how hard they are to break.
Oh, I knew.
My God.
And they shattered.
Watch this, guys.
Yeah. Oh, you have video of it?
Yeah.
So he throws this metal ball and it just absolutely shatters the window. Now, it didn't break completely, but you see the guy puts his hands on his hips like, uh-oh.
Oh, we should have used a Nerf ball.
Exactly.
And he did that in front of Elon Musk, who's also up on stage. So the founder and CEO of Tesla is standing up there with him.
Musk apparently said a curse word. I don't know what he said. And then he said, well, room for improvement.
Wow.
So
had to have hit like the perfect spot.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. but he said they threw wrenches at it. He said we literally threw a kitchen sink at it and it didn't break. I don't know
and
what happened.
And watch this.
All right.
Well, watch the back mirror.
So
well, how about the side? All right, let me just open up the door. I'll turn on the car. The cup holder. Glove compartment.
So, by the way,
not going well.
This thing is a truck.
Okay.
This is the ugliest truck I've ever seen.
Yeah. It also seems, Preston, by design, to not as far as pickup trucks go, to not provide a very useful design for a pickup truck because it slopes down in the back. and you want to be able to.
Well, is that open or is that a cover?
It's got to open. I mean, that's or it's or
no,
a
it
cover.
Does. But the actual the cab of the or the, what do you call the payload area?
Yeah,
doesn't seem to be designed to hold a lot
that big. Yeah, oh, we're watching.
Wait,
him break
so
windows.
He threw it again in another window and it broke.
It's like Steve's joke, yeah. And he was doing the thing. They broke several windows.
Well, here's the air freshener for the car.
Here's a map. Here's the owner's manual. There's a couple of packets of ketchup I found. Now, here are the keys.
I like the idea of Teslas and have, you know, flirted with the idea of maybe getting. But listen, I also have another story. They're going to come out with a Ford Mustang electric car. And they're all the big manufacturers are going to start to delve into this direction, which is cool.
Make them sexy. Make them a car you want to drive. And I'm on board.
This thing looks like a cross between the DeLorean.
Yeah.
And almost like the Tumbler from Batman.
The Tumbler.
Do
you remember a movie called Damnation Alley years ago? It had that sort of quasi, that the DeLorean metal, and it is. It's stainless steel, is it not?
Total Recall too. A lot of people are saying that the cab that, or not the cab, but one of the trucks that they drive around in a Total Recall looks like this.
The tires are pretty cool, but it looks. The interior is also very arch and angular.
Yeah. So here's what this is what I hated about automobiles in the 1980s is they had really sharp, pointy. I never did like that look. I like a car to look curvier and sleek.
They're bringing it back.
Rather than this point. I hope this doesn't start to a trend.
Cadillac has shifted away from that, too. They're getting more, and I like that a little bit better. It looked like a hey, it's a sharp-angled box you're driving.
This thing is a trapezoid, right? Which is weird-looking, and I also feel like it looks like that truck at the end of Tango and Cash. Remember the one that had all the gadgets on it?
Yeah, I do.
There were designers and
it's probably their inspiration
and people who voted on this, which
I mean, look, they're looking for something. They're looking for a head turner for sure. They're something different because when those Teslas first came out, what's that?
It's more like a head scratcher.
Yeah, but when those Teslas first came out, you were like, whoa, what's that?
Yeah,
you know, when you first saw those cars, they had a really unique look about it. But
you just turn your head to look at it.
What?
What was the name of the car that Homer designed with Danny DeVito?
Oh, yeah, the mother-in-law thing.
Have you seen the new Tesla pickup truck? I just said it.
It broke. So the pickup market represents a significant opportunity for Tesla. It improves it's improving its battery technology, meaning carrying heavier loads over long distances is now practical. So they've managed to, you know, improve on the engine so that it can do stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah.
What I'd actually like to see, and I think I talked to you about this, Preston, off air one time, is for car companies to bring back the classic cars and like don't really even update the, like take like a 57 Chevy and make a 2020 Chevy that looks like a 57 Chevy. Well, don't even have to.
Has the body of it.
Has the body of it, but like, you know.
Has the guts of a new car.
Mm-hmm. Right.
They did riffs on it. Like with the first one I remember where they really took a stab at it was when they reissued the Thunderbird.
Yeah.
And then they did, you know, the Charger and all of that stuff.
Well, what I'm saying, I love but they did a more, you know, update current version of that. I mean, an actual 57
that looks
Chevy.
Exactly. Replica. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right.
I remember they were selling a Shelby, essentially a shell. It was up to you to put the guts into it,
right?
But it was that you know, that GT.
Your brain has the shell on it
that you could buy. But yeah, Case, that would be cool. Large trucks have accounted for 14.4% of new vehicle sales up until October this year, compared to 12.6 in 2015. The average selling value of trucks is more than $50,000. Tesla's truck will be starting at $39,900 for the model, which has a range of 250 miles. The most expensive model at $69,000 will have a range of 500 miles.
What's the recharge time?
It'll be able to seat six adults and haul a payload of 3,500 pounds, and pre-orders will start immediately. I have no idea what the recharge time is on it. It doesn't indicate that anywhere, but it's they said that the launch will undoubtedly be overshadowed by the fail of the shattered windows.
That happens, and there are classic shots or video clips of people like Steve Ballmer from Microsoft and Steve Jobs himself on stage, and this is the new, and it's just this easy,
and click the button and the computer freezes or whatever. I mean, that's your big rollout. The world is looking and you botch it.
I, you know, coach basketball and I was trying to teach the kids about, you know, getting through a routine of doing free throws, you know, because you want to increase. And I missed five straight free throws. And, you know, here I am. I'm trying to explain to them how if you get into the same spot and you do the same thing over and over again, keep your mechanics simple, it'll just go in like this.
It'll just go
in. I mean, right like that. I mean, like this. I mean, here you go.
What I've actually just taught you is how to deal with defeat.
Were you actually a little nervous, Case?
Yes!
Is that why?
I knew I short-armed the first three of them right up at the front of the rim. I barely even... In fact, I think I airballed one.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, my God.
By the way, so Ford is unveiling its first all-electric SUV, marking the start of an avalanche of battery-powered vehicles coming from mainstream and luxury automakers during the next 2 years. The Mustang Mach-E.
Yeah.
Which will go... Jesus.
Mach-E.
Yeah.
E.
Car.
E.
It will go 230 miles to more than 300 miles per charge, depending on how it's equipped. There are 18 all-electric vehicles now for sale in the U.S., and they expect that it will grow to 80 by 2022.
So I have, I am waiting on the Audi e-tron sedan, which is looks really cool. It uses a Porsche recharging system that gets a full recharge in 15 minutes.
Is that in Avengers, in Endgame?
Yes.
That's the
one that, not the one, Tony. There's one the...
No, the one that Captain America pulls up to Tony's house?
That's the higher end of the sedan.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
First-generation electric vehicles, which mainly were retrofitted version of existing models designed to meet government fuel economy standards, didn't sell well, largely because they couldn't travel more than 100 miles between a charge. But now many can go beyond the distance people drive in one day with plenty of cushion. So there's going to be a bigger... market for that.
Also, if you stop and think about it, it's something I hadn't thought of initially. When you go home, your house is a gas station, basically.
Yeah.
You're charging it up. So I don't drive a lot, but I want to see. Again, I still think there's a little bit more tinkering. You know, the Tesla stuff is great. They finally realized people still want to drive something that looks sexy and that they're happy to drive. Remember that like the Volt and stuff like that. It was just okay.
I mean, this new Mustang, I don't like the look of it either.
I don't either. No, I think they could have done a better job.
Yeah.
Just because it's electric, you don't need to dowdy it down.
No, make it look cool.
Yeah, they are. I mean, as far as the recharging is concerned, they're making it faster too. Like it doesn't have to just sit there for hours and hours and hours.
Like, that's what I'm saying. Like the recharging system on the whatever the Porsche mechanics are, whatever system they design, you can get a full recharge in 15 minutes.
That's amazing.
Brands that have announced new models that will go on sale in the next few years, like Ford, include Mercedes-Benz, Audi, Cadillac, Byton, Rivian. Some I've never heard of. Bollinger. Kia, Faraday Future, Volkswagen, Mazda, Tesla, Aston Martin, Polestar, and Volvo.
And the Famunda.
And Famunda as well.
There are a bunch of Chinese startups that have created ones that they're trying to use to compete with Tesla. And so they're relatively small car companies, but their overhead is way low
as well. Like Cadillac.
Cadillac, yeah. They drive really fast.
Well, it's got... autonomous driver technology, so even a blind person can drive the Cadillac.
The Cadillac.
The new Cadillac.
Just go home.
All right. And there, that's all I got.
For yep.
You.
Okay. Thanks.
But I thought it was interesting. I wasn't even doing a thing. I just was passing
it was
along
another
a story.
Thing.
Yeah.
I wasn't even doing a thing.
I wasn't doing anything.
This has been the Pit Crew.
Let me give away some turkey bacon. I have a coupon. I have a six-pack of coupons, actually, good for six full-size packages of Godshall's turkey bacon. Let's take callers 10 and 11, 215-263-WMMR. Every slice of Godshall's turkey bacon comes packed with 6 grams of protein, real wood smoked flavor, and is gluten-free. So let's set you up with that. We're going to take a break. Come back in a moment. Bizarre File stories are on the way.
What's new?
Glad you asked.
Dirty Honey.
You know the time has come, so don't miss me when I'm gone.
Shinedown.
My monsters are real, and they're drinking out of key.
Ghost.
Because me is mine.
New music. More of everything that rocks.
On 93.3 WMMR.
few texts coming in saying that from Rival Sons, the singer sounds like Casey.
You think?
I can't. Well, I'm not. That's what these texters are saying. I don't think it sounds like it, but they do. He's a great singer.
By the way, should we mention that Casey is going to perform his Eagles song?
We should, but not before I read this other text. It says, this band has an identity crisis, and the lyrics kind of blow wang.
Huh. Huh. So, win some, lose some.
Win some, lose some. Wow. Casey will be performing, the Eagles fight song that he wrote with the band Jealousy Curve at the Camp Out for Hunger.
Yeah. Oh, my God. I'm so nervous again. It is going to happen early on Tuesday morning. Hopefully we can do it. Brandon Graham and hopefully some other players will be there at that
time.
You're
going to do it in front of Eagles?
Yeah.
You should. It'll inspire you.
Yeah.
And then you know what you should do, a la Bruce Springsteen, grab Brandon's hand and pull him up on stage to dance with you.
Do the Pee Wee Herman dance.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
It's a great idea.
So that's going to happen on Tuesday. I got to learn the words to the song that I wrote.
It happens all the time. You know, artists have to
He's right.
Yeah.
Steve's right. Yeah. It's not nothing to be embarrassed about.
Yeah. I'm nervous again. And that's going to happen.
You'll do fine.
Even if I don't do fine, that's radio gold right there. Be there to witness.
No matter what happens. Descent. If it's any comfort,
I wouldn't mind playing drums on that song.
Yeah?
But then again, I want to take the drummer from Jealousy Curve's air out of his
Well, maybe we add
How about tambourine?
Tambourine?
Do that. Yeah.
You can be the Davy Jones.
Maracas.
Yeah.
I'll just play maracas during that. So that's coming up on Tuesday of the Camp Out of Hunger, which should be cool. All right, I have bizarre file stories. I would love to share them with you.
Now, WMMR presents bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
Brought to you by God Shoals with 80% less fat, 100% wood smoked flavor when family gathers. And because you love them and they love bacon. There you go. God Shoals turkey bacon. A woman in Utah is facing criminal charges that could force her to register as a sex offender after allegedly being seen topless by her stepchildren inside her own home.
Hmm.
Teely Buchanan, 28 years old, was working with her husband in their garage when they both removed their shirts to prevent dust from getting on them. The children, ages 9 and 13, saw the couple both topless, and when their birth mother later heard about the incident, she mentioned it to child welfare officials because she was alarmed about it. The stepmother was charged with 3 counts of misdemeanor lewdness involving a child, and the husband faces no charges.
So the kids happened upon them or in the same room or...
I don't know the details. If convicted, the woman could be forced to register as a sex offender for 10 years.
I don't know the full deal. It seems kind of weird.
After a court hearing in Salt Lake City, Buchanan spoke out against what she views as a double standard regarding topless men and women. She said, I was in the privacy of my own home. My husband was right next to me in the exact same manner that I was, and he's not being prosecuted.
No bra or bra?
No bra. Over the bra. No, but prosecutors
totally bra
argued Buchanan was under the influence of alcohol when she now keep in mind it's in Utah okay that she was under the influence of alcohol when she removed her shirt and made a comment that she would put it back on only if her husband exposed himself. Several states.
Well, this is a wonderful story.
Around the U.S. have been engaged in debates over whether women should be allowed to be topless in public. Hey, man, I had my pants off in the studio this morning.
Absolutely.
And I didn't see any cops breaking down the door here. A group called Free the
Nipple. I rubbed one out in Bill's office.
Oh, God.
Oh, that's it? That's too much?
That's a different
thing. We need a printed handout.
That's crossing the line.
A group called Free the Nipple has had mixed success in fighting on behalf of women who want to be treated the same as men on the issue. The judge expects to reach the decision in about 2 months. By the way, Kathy, I don't have the itch on my leg anymore. It went away for some reason or another. I don't know why.
Maybe it's because you took your pants off at work earlier this morning.
Whatever it was fell out of there, yeah. I guess. I don't know.
I think your medicinal kisses really helped, Kathy.
What do you want me to say? He had no pants on.
Newly released surveillance video from a gas station shows the moment a car crashed into a gas pump, causing an explosion and fire. Police say Clemente Torres was allegedly impaired, was behind the wheel at the time of the fiery crash. Torres lost control of his Mustang after making a U-turn as he pulled out of the gas station. In the surveillance video, you can see it crashing into another car and then plowing right into the gas pump. A moment later, the gas pump burst into flames.
Wow.
Police say Torres ran away from the fire and then tried to walk home, but was later tracked down and arrested. Once police found him, they could smell strong alcoholic odor on his breath. He scored a .241. That's pretty lit up. Blood alcohol concentration.
Yeah,
during his field sobriety test. He was on his way to DUI court for a previous DUI arrest when he lit the gas station on fire. The cost of the damage made to the vehicles, the gas pump, and the overhang is expected to be about $25,000.
Could have killed someone.
Easily.
Mm-hmm.
An exotic dancer has filed a lawsuit against a popular Vancouver spa after she claims a laser hair removal treatment left her with white cheetah-like marks all over her legs and bikini area.
Is this what you showed me?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
No, it's bad.
Is it bad?
Yeah.
It looks like It looks like she has scales, too.
It's like significant scarring.
Yeah. Danielle Nadeau had said, "I honestly would not wish this on anyone. It's been such a horrible 5 months." She was tired of shaving and waxing for her job. She decided to have a series of laser hair removal sessions at Ideal Image Med Spa. But her eighth appointment in June felt a little different than the previous one. She said it always felt like a rubber band being snapped. That's what most people equate it to.
Right.
I was used to that. I expected that. And this time, it was just incessant pain the entire time. And at one point, I was biting my fist. She says that she complained, but the person performing the procedure didn't seem concerned. She left the spa with her legs feeling swollen and hot. I said to my partner, "It feels like I'm standing in boiling oil. I've never had this experience." Over the next several days, she said hundreds of welts began to appear on her legs and bikini area. She said at first it was just a bunch of little red nickel-sized dots all over my legs, and they puffed up, and they were tender, and it hurt. Eventually, over time, those flaked off, and now I'm left with hypopigmented white dots all over my legs and my Brazilian area. She says the marks are difficult to hide with makeup, and they're impacting her job as an exotic dancer.
So, what is the prognosis? It looks like,
I don't know what they can do. Yeah, I have no idea. Nadeau hired a lawyer, and she's suing the spa in civil court for lost wages and general damages as
can
well.
Can she dance at the aquarium?
I don't know. This is pretty interesting. Visitors at the Oakland Zoo in California might be hesitant to visit the grizzly bears because of the visibly cracked glass at the exhibit. Officials said Tuesday, though, the animals aren't at risk of getting out. The glass was shattered when a child had repeatedly hit it with a rock. And I mean, it looks like it's going to crumble to pieces. And on the other side, you can see a grizzly sitting there. Well, the image of an 8-foot, 900-pound bear...
Should have the folks at Tesla take a look at
behind a broken glass might stop some people from visiting the exhibit. The spokesperson said that it was only the laminate area that was shattered.
Yeah, it's just the laminate.
She says the bulletproof strength glass at the enclosure where four grizzly bears live is made of 6 separate panes, each of which is an inch thick.
Right.
The zoo is currently on the hook for the $67,000 it will cost to replace the glass. Yeah. Officials were unable to locate the family after another visitor reported the child. They got the hell out of there.
Of course.
Right after the kid broke it.
I don't care what they're telling you. You see a cracked glass in front of a polar bear. Yep. I'm going.
And then finally, a 16-year-old boy is accused of helping smuggle drugs into the U.S. via a remote-controlled car.
Awesome.
I mean, like a little RC race car. Border Patrol agents said they arrested the teen around 12:30 a.m. Sunday after they spotted someone with 2 duffel bags walking along the U.S. side of the secondary border wall about a mile west of Otay Mesa.
Otay.
Oh, man.
When agents caught up to the teen, they said he was hiding in thick bushes with bags, which were filled with about 50 bundles of meth. They also found the RC car, which officials said was used to drive the bundles from Mexico to the U.S., likely controlled by someone on the southern side.
Pull over, Buckwheat.
Agents believe that it would have taken multiple trips back and forth with the small car to transport such a large quantity of drugs. There were 56 pounds of meth. Yeah.
Wow.
That they found. Yeah. And an estimated street value of over $100,000. That's what it says here, pounds. So that would be a lot of trips with that little
tiny car.
Yep.
It's adorable.
And that is what I have in the bizarre file. We're going to take a break. We're going to give away another pair of tickets. Monday night is Preston and Steve's sweet night at the Flyers game. They're playing Vancouver. and we can put you in that suite with members of the Preston and Steve Show. We'll take caller 25 at 215-263-WMMR. Don't forget, it's Hockey Fights Cancer Night. All fans get a Hockey Fights Cancer rally towel, and also canned goods are being welcomed. They are doing a collection.
It's so cool.
For the Camp Out for Hunger.
We love it.
Flyers game on Monday night. So if you're headed out to the game, whether you win tickets with us or not, please take some canned goods and drop them off. You can get your tickets now at PhiladelphiaFlyers.com. Caller number 25, you get them. We're going to come back. Lesson question, trash music news.
Get social with Preston and Steve and WMMR. Facebook, Twitter, you know, the usual places.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
We'll do our letter of the day, word of the week, coming up at the end of the program, which is not too far off. Get ready, but we have more things to give away between now and then. Just giving away those Flyer suite tickets, that's done. So those of you who are on hold, you can hang up now because, or not on hold, that are still just listening to the phone ring, you can hang up because I'm going to do a different contest and give away a different prize. And it's for those who have been paying attention and listening to the whole show because it's our lesson question for the day. So the question is going to net you, a correct answer will net you, a pair of tickets to see Mr. Robert Kelly December 31st. At Punchline Philly. So the question is actually going to come from a guest of ours today, Marlon Wayans, who is on, who's playing Punchline.
Yes, he is.
And here's the question. If slavery still existed, what would they give Nick Cannon? 215-263-WMMR. This is something Wayans said. It was hilarious. If slavery still existed, what would they give Nick Cannon? 215-263-WMMR. Don't guess. You had to have heard it. Let's see if you were listening. And we'll do the trash while you're calling in.
The trash business is a gold mine.
93.3 WMMR with Preston and Steve's Hollywood Trash.
And it's brought to you by Primo Hoagies. Whether you're watching the game or hosting friends over the holidays, score big and serve in style with Primo Hoagies. You can check out their gift card extravaganza promotion at PrimoHoagies.com. It's not just a hoagie, it's a Primo. What's going on this morning, Steve?
Well, Aaron Carter won't be going anywhere near Nick Carter for a year now that a judge has granted a restraining order against him. Aaron believes Nick is upset because he threatened to kill his family, but says that's how brothers are.
Yeah. Hey!
Elton John revealing he was so worried about performing Candle in the Wind at Princess Diana's funeral that he had a teleprompter by his piano. Elton says he was terrified of accidentally launching into the bitch's back.
Oh, my God.
And finally, Teresa Giudice telling Andy Cohen on Watch What Happens Live that she won't be seeing husband Joe Giudice until next summer because he has been deported back to Italy. Said Teresa, quote, "The great thing is I know when I do see Joe, he'll still be the same greasy slob he's always been." And that's your Hollywood track.
All right, we will see if we can get an answer to this question. If slavery still existed, what would they give Nick Cannon? 215-263-WMMR is the number, and I will go to Bob, see if he knows the answer. Hey, Bob, how you doing, man?
Doing.
Awesome, buddy. So if slavery still existed, what would they give Nick Cannon?
A raise.
A raise, yes.
He's talking about his work ethic.
Yeah.
Hang on, Bob. We're going to set you up, my friend, with a pair of tickets to see Robert Kelly on December 31st at 7:30 p.m. at Punchline Philly. You can get tickets for Robert's December 30th and 31st shows at Ticketmaster.com. The shows are 21 and over. Let's do music news.
Preston and Steve's Music News on 93.3 WMMR.
Yeah! Brought to you this morning by Patient First, another Patient First difference, urgent care that's open 8 a.m. to 10 p.m. every day of the year, 19 Eastern Pennsylvania and South Jersey area medical centers. Learn more at patientfirst.com.
Something wrong?
It was just a burp.
Oh, okay. I thought that came out of your ass. Okay.
Nope.
Thank you.
See, maybe they could tell you over there, patient care.
Mm-hmm. Dave Grohl had a simple description for his band's music during an interview. Grohl pushed back when host Whitney Cummings called the Foo Fighters cool, saying, you know the whole dad rock thing? Yeah, we're totally dad rock, is what he said. Dave took his explanation a step further, saying, first of all, we are all dads, and you're right, we're a rock band. Look, I'm 50 years old. I have effing gray hair. But you know, the thing is, I've never considered our band cool, and I like that. He said that he thought one reason for the band's longevity was that it's never been trendy. He said, we've just never been hip or cool. We just really haven't. I think that the reason why we are still here is because we do kind of disconnect ourselves from the popular stuff that's going on. But also because who the F do we care, or why, what the F do we care? I just want to play music, he said.
I would agree with that, because when they came in as sort of as part of the on the heels of alt, you know, radio modern rock, but they always felt they were always playable on regular rock stations.
Yeah, they were a little more straight with
their
music.
So they transcended everything.
Yep.
So this video and interview, they're available on PrestonandSteve.com and WMMR.com, and I just pulled it up. It's 2 hours long. That's a long-ass conversation, isn't it?
Yeah, I guess so.
Podcasts sometimes are like that.
And I'm a fan of hers and a fan of his, but
after a while when you're saying, so what do you like to eat? You know.
By the way, who is she? I've forgotten.
Comedian. Whitney Cummings.
Yeah, she had a TV show for a hot minute.
Mm-hmm. She was doing all the roasts for the longest time.
Foo Fighters are currently working on their 10th studio album. Ozzy Osbourne has released the second single from his upcoming album, Ordinary Man, titled Straight to Hell. The track was teased earlier this week and follows up the first cut previewed from the LP, Under the Graveyard. Straight to Hell features a guest appearance from Slash, his bandmate Duff McKagan, and Chad Smith of the Chili Peppers both play on the entire album, along with producer-guitarist Andrew Watt.
So Jim Norton approved, right?
Yeah, he went over to Ozzy's house to listen to it. Ordinary Man is due out in early 2020, and will be Ozzy's first full-length solo album in a decade, following 2010's Scream. Coldplay frontman Chris Martin has told the BBC News that the band will not be going on tour for its new album, Everyday Life, until they can offer carbon-neutral concerts. Martin explained, "We're taking time over the next year or two to work out how our tour can not only be sustainable, but how it can be actively beneficial."
I can fix it for him, the Tesla pickup trucks.
There you go. Coldplay's last tour was 2016 and 17, which saw them play 122 shows around the world. Martin said, "Our next tour will be the best possible version of a tour like that environmentally.
We won't be back until we're carbon neutral." Okay.
He said, "We would be disappointed if it's not carbon neutral. The hardest thing is the flying side of things." He said, "But for example, our dream is to have a show with no single-use plastic, to have it largely solar-powered." Because, listen, you do what you can.
You do what you can, absolutely.
Yeah, it's, if you have to fly, you have to fly, but then you make up for it in other ways, and that's what they're trying
to do. Can they power their concerts with windmills, portable windmills that they bring with them?
I don't know.
Pearl Jam does it.
Yeah.
They tour carbon neutral, they plant a ton of trees, and it offsets their travel.
Okay.
Carbon footprint.
So, but they do burn a bunch of air fuel, right?
Yeah, I mean, they have to fly from city to city, but then they'll
What are you doing up there? You doing some stunt flying or something?
I didn't realize it was going set up. For a bit.
Why don't you get off my back? Planting all these goddamn trees, you got to fly in a plane, so you're going to give me crap? Suck it.
Everyday Life is out today, and to celebrate its release, the band played two concerts in Jordan, which were live-streamed via YouTube.
Oh, it was so cool. They burned 50 tons of styrofoam in a big bonfire.
Wow. That makes for a sight. Yeah.
Because it glows differently when it's on fire.
Following that, they'll host a charity concert at London's Natural History Museum on Monday, with proceeds going to environmental law nonprofit Climate Earth.
Do they still have their annual baby seal clubbing?
I think they put that on hold for now. Out today is the latest Jimi Hendrix archival release called Songs for Groovy Children, the Fillmore East Concerts.
You gotta love this. How long has the guy been dead and he's still putting out new stuff?
The 5-CD or 8-LP set, which is a joint project via Experience Hendrix LLC and Sony Legacy Recordings, features over 24 tracks that have either never before been released commercially or have been newly remixed.
Doesn't it blow your mind that at this point in time there's still stuff that hasn't been released?
Yeah, it is crazy. Newly mixed and restored in sequence without edits, fans can finally hear Hendrix, bassist Billy Cox, and drummer Buddy Miles blast through their genre-defying sets that included freshly written songs like Earth Blues and Stepping Stone, as well as experience favorites like Foxy Lady, Voodoo Child, Wild Thing, Hey Joe, and Purple Haze.
And answering machine messages, too, right?
So, yeah, he will leave.
As Jimi Hendrix, I'm not at home right now, but if you leave your name, number, time, call, I'll get back to you.
And he did, like, hundreds of names, so you can insert somebody in there if you want to. which is really thinking ahead.
He was an innovator.
All right, and there you go. That's what I have for you, music news. Hey, I want to mention that the latest Daily Rush video is up. I need to see this. Nick was watching it yesterday. It's called Pierre Hates the Pina Colada Song.
It's great.
And it says, and now he hates Preston and Steve, too. You can watch it now at PrestonandSteve.com, sponsored by Punchline Philly Comedy Club, Restaurant, and Bar.
We found out that the most peaceful, happy, kind man on earth wants to drive an ice pick up to the bottom of this guy's chin.
Yep.
If you like making love at midnight.
It's like one of the happiest songs.
On the dunes of the Cape.
I'm the love that you look for. Back to me and a stick.
The funny part is at the end of the song, they end up back with each other anyway. They didn't realize they were meant for each other.
Meant to be. All right. Let me give away. Do I need to save some of these for next week? Or no, it says for the week, I guess.
For the week,
so.
I guess.
Did you just, he was just saying what I said?
Yeah, right? Yeah. But it made sense to you because you had said it.
Yeah.
Do you have pants on?
I am wearing pants right now, so it's all good. What?
Just the way he said it. Floored me.
All right, so we'll take caller number 10 and give you tickets, a six-pack of tickets to for Grandstand Parade tickets for the 100th S6ABC Duncan Thanksgiving Day Parade on November 28th and a jam-packed parade swag bag from Duncan.
I was laughing like this in the first episode of Sunny on Wednesday night. There is a scene with Charlie and Danny DeVito that is so freaking funny.
I've recorded them all for this season,
and I hate to say this because I love the whole series. And
it's great,
and I've never missed an episode. But I thought the first couple episodes were a little bit uneven. The last few have been so good, and there is just it's 5 minutes. Not even with Charlie and Danny, and it is just so damn absurd and funny. It is so good.
And you were laughing like
that. I was laughing like that.
Give us a hint of what's happening in the scene.
They eat cat food like it's normal. Like, you know what I mean? It's like, oh man, you know, like, I don't want to ruin it for you.
Okay.
But like, if the cat food is the basis for it, and it's like, oh, here, eat. Oh man, thanks.
All right. Anyway, we should take one more break as we still have our Word of the Week prize to give away when Pierre gets in here. So let's do that very thing. We shall return shortly with your opportunity to win yet again.
Hey, gang, starting Monday, December 2nd, we are camping out and broadcasting our show from Xfinity Live in the Wells Fargo Center complex.
It's Preston and Steve's Camp Out for Hunger, benefiting Phil Abundance and fueled in part by Energy Transfer.
Now, join us for special guests each morning inside the warm confines of the Bimbo Bakeries USA broadcast tent.
With free hot coffee from Dunkin', the official coffee of the Preston and Steve Show.
Join us on site and drop off your non-perishable food donations at the General Building Contractors Association Demolish Hunger Donation Area.
Camp Out would not be possible without the generosity of you, our great friends and listeners, and our partners.
Mid-Atlantic Packaging, Xfinity from Comcast, Mayfair Fence, Town Square Rentals, Pods Moving and Storage, Ryan Party Rentals, and National Event Services. Preston and Steve's Camp Out for Hunger. From 93.3 WMMR, putting Philly first.
That band is called Crobots. On 93.3 WMMR, and they are going to be playing
probably that song when they come by here. It is called Low Life, and they will be, well, not necessarily here, not in Bala Cynwyd. They're going to be at the Camp Out for Hunger on Monday morning, live performing in our tent.
I love that. That is so cool. Monday's shaping up to be a kick-ass show.
Gender reveal, the world's largest gender reveal, Crobot. For crying out loud.
Legal public sex.
And legal public sex. No, it's a comedy night that night at the Camp Out for Hunger. And also we're going to be playing basketball after the show at on the Sixers hardwood when we head over to the Wells Fargo Center. So that's Monday alone, man. So which is rapidly approaching. I've not looked at the forecast yet.
Sunny and 83. Forecast.
No, I don't think you're telling the truth.
It doesn't matter. We defy the weather, Preston, unless we don't.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
I'll go along with that. Just getting an idea if we're going to hit a cold snap or not.
I don't know. You know, at this point, we should be able to get a 10-day.
We're in the range. Monday will be a little bit closer to get an idea. But
yeah, you can't quite. And as we've learned many times before, it's really like 2 days, 2 to 3 days.
Yep. So, but we're getting set for it. I would like to thank Marlon Wayans for being here.
Yay!
Marlon was on fire.
He was great.
And he is performing at Punchline tonight, 7:30 and 9, Saturday, 7 and 9:15, and then they added an 11:45 show. Was that him or was that Jim that added that?
I think they're both.
That was Marlon.
Yeah, that was Marlon.
Yeah.
And then Sunday is a 7 p.m. show. Now, Jim Norton, who is here, is going to be performing at Helium Comedy Club tonight, Saturday, and then on Sunday, and I believe the shows for tonight and Saturday are sold out, but Sunday there's a 7 o'clock show. So
go see them both. You have the chance.
Yeah, if you can. They're both really, really funny, so it was cool to have them.
By Mutual of Omaha.
That's right.
Callback.
Marlon and Jim from yesterday.
I used to love that show.
I did, too.
I used to love how you tied into insurance. Much the same way the meerkat has to crawl into a hole, you, too, would have to crawl into a hole if your house was devastated by a tornado.
Yep. Mutual of Omaha's Wild Kingdom. That's right. How you doing, Pierre Robert?
Fine, thank you.
Looking very velvety today.
Thank you. I'm feeling very, very velvety.
Somebody went to Rockstar Rob's garage sale.
Yes, I did. He's ruined velvet for the rest of us.
It's ruined.
Especially black velvet.
Should I have a velvet jacket? You think I should get a velvet jacket? I saw somebody at the charity event I was at last week. My buddy Dan was wearing a red velvet jacket. And I'm like, dude, that has got some style to it.
I had one in the late 70s, and then they came back into fashion. And they're one of the few things from the 70s that I like that have come back into fashion.
Yeah, the 70s were horrible.
Oh, my God.
Horrible.
The plaid pants. But plaid pants have made a comeback.
I always hated plaid pants.
Unspeakable. Yep. Did I make the Letter Daily Rush?
You did.
Yeah.
Oh, the Daily Rush.
A lot of things.
For your favorite song.
I did not know that until you just mentioned that.
If you like me, there's a lot of
we reveal your absolute hatred.
It is all rock and roll, like I like to say, but it doesn't mean you have to love every single thing within that piece of pie.
Nope,
every slice is not loved. Before we go further, I need to congratulate you guys for this evening. You will be inducted into the Pennsylvania Broadcast Pioneers Hall of Fame for radio, which is a very cool thing. And I don't know if you've talked about it. You're modest and you don't like to bring attention to yourself.
No, we haven't mentioned it at all.
But I wanted to mention it and acknowledge that. A very cool honor.
Thank you.
I was lucky enough to get it a few years ago. And tonight you guys will be inducted. It's only a 10-hour ceremony.
That's what we've heard.
No, it's fun. It's great fun, and they're really nice people, and it's very special. Not very many people get in.
We are honored. It's going to be very cool, and there's a couple of friends as well being inducted tonight. So that's cool. So.
I'm going to stop by. In fact,
oh, that's nice.
Yes, I brought a suit coat.
Well, you're going to perform the Pina Colada song.
I am going to perform the. That's the evening's entertainment.
Pierre's tribute to Rupert Holmes.
Pierre does Rupert.
And now.
That's not such a good one.
I've publicly stated that I want this man dead.
Yeah.
Yeah, cool,
then we'll see it tonight.
We'll see it tonight.
Love it.
We're going to rock.
Let's do the letter. Here we go.
Rock.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Now, the Daily Letter.
Hi, the Preston and Steve show is brought to you today by the letter.
L as in laptop.
I love it. And we have to take a caller, number nine.
At
215-263-WMR. Yes.
Number nine.
Let's see if you get it right. And if so, we have a very cool prize, which you'll need to use tonight, mind you, when you call in to win. So good luck to you. What's happening on the program today?
Well, we're going to have some fun. My last pair of tickets for the KISS show in August. We will give those away in a block of KISS in the workforce blocks. We were going to do this yesterday, and then we got it backwards. I was going to do Evanescence yesterday and Dylan today, and then we realized Dylan was last night at the Met, and we have the request for today for the Evanescence. So we're back on target, sharp as a tack. Evanescence will be the middle block. We have Tommy Conwell and the Great Young Rumblers.
Awesome.
And they'll be at the Ardmore Music Hall. They do a couple shows a year now, and they've put out a great new record, and it's really some fine, fine songs on it. And so we will play a block of Tommy. And for our vinyl cut, it was 51 years ago today that the White Album came out. MMR played it when it was new, which is a fairly staggering, you know, thing.
Yeah.
So we'll play some of that on vinyl. So
nice.
We're going to have a fun day.
Is Monday your airport show?
Oh, yes. Wow. Shoot. I meant to mention
Gosh
that.
Diggity dang it.
Gosh diggity dang dong ding. Yes, Monday we'll be broadcasting from the airport, and it's going to be fun. It's going to be a great time. Pepsi, the official drink of the Preston Steve show, the official soft drink, is our sponsor. And there we're going to be between terminals B and C. Now, this is not something people can come to unless you're flying in or out. But I will be there to scare incoming passengers and welcome them for the Thanksgiving holiday. And we're going to have some Acme gift cards, another one of the camp out sponsors. And we're going to have some of the airport places come by and bring food.
Nice.
I'm not exactly sure how we're going to work that.
Totally great restaurants there. Yeah.
So it'll be fun.
You know, you could do if you wanted to just buy a ticket to a cheap ticket to like to Boston or something.
I think that's a fabulous idea.
Make that your ticket to go see Pierre live at the airport.
Right, and we'll be doing the Pina Colada song.
Love it. Fire it up. If you like
Pina Colada, starting to like it. No, I'm really not.
Let's see if we can get an answer for, or at least find out what the word is, and I'll go to Ralph for the answer. Hi there, Ralph.
Hello, citizens. I got a boner.
Oh, my God. Well, that's a good way to start. Yeah. All right, Ralph, what is the word, sir?
Is it tool?
T-O-O-O-L. Tool. Very much good.
Three O's in that. Nice. All right, Ralph, you got it right. You're going to the concert tonight in Atlantic City, my man.
That's awesome.
Congratulations. Hang on the line. We'll make sure we take care of your information. And don't forget that Boardwalk Hall is where the concert is. Tool. You can get tickets at Ticketmaster.com. So he's set to go. That's it. Nice and easy on that one. I want to take this moment to thank our sponsors of the show. The Preston and Steve radio program has been brought to you today by Winter Airport Parking, the fastest way in and out of Philly International Airport. And also Meineke, America's choice for auto repair. Next week on our program, we'll have in our studio our good friend Dom Irera stopping by. Also, the amazing Cecily Tynan will be in the studio. We will also speak. We normally have him at the Camp Out for Hunger, but his schedule is not as such where he could be there. But leading up to it, United States Senator Bob Casey will be joining
us. There you go. He always puts the word out.
Yep, it's nice of him to do that. And, ladies and gentlemen, next week we reveal to you Kathy's list of holiday activities.
Whoa, kids.
These things and more. So make sure that you're with us. That's it. We're done. Rage on. Have yourself a great weekend. We'll see you later, gang. Bye-bye.
The Preston and Steve love you, hate you line.
The f*** guys. We're going to hold 8 minutes for the Bizarre Files. Currently listening, but not because I'm on the phone with you guys, bitching and complaining about it. Love you guys. You rock.
Next message.
Hey, Preston and Steve. My name's Ashlyn. I just wanted to thank you guys for a wonderful show. Always putting a smile on my face in the morning, and you guys rock so much. All right. Hope you guys have a great day and a great weekend. See ya.
Next message.
Oh, man, they took the likes off Instagram. Now I'll never know how many people enjoy this picture of my
The Preston and Steve Love You, Hate You line.
Call 484-434-1333.
MMR rocks.
Brought to you by DellToyota.com and DellChevrolet.com.
Jack, sell them for less.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.